If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Feel all right, Steve and Johnny.
And then just a nice thing to hear what a really good guitar player Bob Young was.
That's true, yes. And it also gave us a chance to dance around the studio, get the blood flowing, wake up,
Yeah. You know, get moving.
Not that the game put me to sleep.
No.
Just kind of sort of made me drowsy, that's all.
The extended play is, you know, it's nice to hear that, the whole
thing.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Hi, Ron Brown.
Hi,
Ron.
Hi, guys. You ready to have some fun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You usually are, so I'm not surprised.
In fact, tonight is car night. Wow, there's so many things to talk about in that world with Tom Appel.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff going on.
In fact, he did a blog post that we will talk about later. That literally so many people started going to it, it
broke the internet.
It knocked their server. Oh, speaking of knocking things off, I'm going to turn to the keeper of the big plug.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
That would be your Bob.
That would be me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I don't know if you saw the weather that happened down in our part of Florida this past week.
I did not.
We got between 3 and 9 inches of snow in the panhandle. Now, why am I turning to you?
Yes.
Because one of the local TV stations down there, WMBB, they wound up having to broadcast strictly streaming and on Facebook because their tower was so snowed and iced that it knocked them off the air. Which leads me to the question, they're not used to that.
No.
What do we do up here to make sure that we stay on the air when we get all the frequent snows and ice and everything else we get up here? Is there a different protocol for...
Yes.
Vaseline.
No, we run a little electricity through there and kind of heats things up a little bit, you know, melts some stuff, you know.
I thought you sent the interns out with a little
hammer
and a chisel.
Yeah. With the broom to knock the snow off the dish. Yeah.
Welcome to broadcasting.
Well, actually,
if you throw
your weight up against the base of it, it'll shake it off.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What I hear. You just, sure. You know, run into the side of it and it'll just shake it down. And
while you're out there taking a puff, you know.
That's right. That's where we used to find the engineer.
Oh,
we go,
absolutely.
He's having a cig. He's out by the tower.
But if you haven't seen some of the pictures we posted of our little yellow house, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And scroll down and you will see we posted some of the pictures of our little yellow house for the first time ever covered in snow.
which was fun because it made our yellow house, which was freshly painted last year, look like a lemon meringue pie, and the snow looked like the meringue on top of it.
Of course.
It looked so yummy. In fact, a couple of listeners picked up on that. They said, your house is just kind of glowing there. Because it was so sunny the next day, too. Mm-hmm. And our friends who have kids, this was funny. They had to dress their kids with their gardening gloves. Oh. And they were like fighting on, I want a glove, I want a glove. And finally, mom said, well, we'll just put baggies on your hands. Oh. And the kids came in and said, but my hands are cold. Their hands would be warm if they put a baggie on them.
But they were having so many accidents, in
yes.
part because down in that part of the of Florida, a lot of people have SUVs, four-wheel drive SUVs, that they're used to driving on dirt, but they have no clue how to drive them on ice or snow. And there is a big bridge that separates Panama City from Panama City Beach. And there was a video that we posted of some of the cars trying to get up.
And sliding.
They just don't have a clue how to drive in bad weather.
And they were sliding backwards. And it was crazy, too, because it was such a gorgeous sunny day, but the bridge had just solid. It was frozen, so it was closed down. And state police and local sheriff were sitting at the base of the bridge. But what are they going to do, jump out and flag people down as a truck is coming back on them?
But I don't know if you saw this, and I need to find this and post it. It did give the Panama City Beach Police an excuse to do one of the coolest photographs. Did you
donuts
see
donuts in the parking lot?
No. they have a, it's mostly a promotional vehicle. I don't know how they got this. I think it was, they may have got it from some apprehended drug dealer or something
really?
Like that. They have a Corvette that they now have the Panama City Beach logo and everything on.
Oh, I missed that.
And they had this beautiful photo of the Corvette with the snow in front of the Panama City Beach sign.
Oh,
I'm going to see if I can find
fun.
That and post
yeah.
it. It was a very cool picture.
And they probably say, all right, Steve, you did especially good this week, so you get to drive the vet.
Yeah.
You know, because they're all like, I want to drive the vet. Let me drive the vet. Which you can drive a vet now. If it's a new vet, you can drive it in the snow.
Yeah.
But you just need to know how to drive in snow.
Yeah.
And that was part of the problem, too. But it was so fun to see the post from our friends who have kids, and these kids had never touched snow, never had it fall on their little tongues. They were just giddy, and it kind of gives you a different perspective because they didn't
yeah.
have to go to school. They just didn't have gloves or boots or hats
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. So funny to see them wearing their gardening gloves going, but they're big and I'm cold. And when I was a kid, my mother always took, let's see if I'm the only one, bread bags. We'd put bread bags on our feet. All right, Bob, you're shaking
oh,
your
yeah.
head. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You put the Wonder Bread bag on your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you slip your feet into your boots. And it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, if you're going ice skating outside and you think you're going to lose feeling in your toes, you put a bread bag on your feet.
You do have to remember to take the bread out first, though.
No, no, in case you get
well,
stranded.
I don't know. Yeah, you know,
most people
insulation
anyway.
On the
that's
front.
Right. A little padding. Yeah. You get a little bounce in your
or
step.
Leave it in if you want your feet to be toasty.
I'll teed that one up for you.
Yes, thank you, Julian. Does this sound crazy to you? Did you ever have to wear bread bags on your feet?
No, I have good foot circulation. Oh, boy. I'm going to turn my mic off now while I get my words together.
He wasn't ready. Sorry.
We've got to reboot him, Bob. Yeah. Can you go in there and reboot him? Oh, gosh. It's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, we have a bunch of things planned. Oh, and after this break, we will have yet another highly technical question.
Oh.
For Bob.
Okay, and quickie, can I just say to the people who are texting, we're on the radio now. They're texting, are you going
to
be on?
Where are
you might want to turn on your radio because that's what we're doing.
Any idea when you're going to start the broadcast?
Yeah.
Now.
Minutes ago.
Surprise.
Yeah. Well, coming up a little later, Jessica Radloff is going to join us
yes.
from Glamour Magazine. And, she's out on the left coast, so we're going to get an update on the California wildfires.
And how they've affected her, because she actually left and went back home to St. Louis. And She is also going to tell us about what to watch on TV coming up. And
a little bit of the Oscar news. Yeah. And we also want to get Ron's take on some of the Oscars, too.
Mm-hmm.
And a little later, we'll talk with Tom Appel about car stuff. And we got a whole bunch of them, including we're going to share some information about, for those of you who have suddenly found that on Facebook, you are now following people you never intended to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Speaking of technical stuff.
Uh-huh.
Back to me.
Oh, mm-hmm. Bob.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hand you something.
Okay.
Did you bring that with you?
I did. Okay.
Oh, golly.
I will explain to the kids what I am handing you. Now, careful, because there is a thing taped to it.
To the back of it.
What I have just handed Bob is our
garage door opener.
We've had this garage door opener for years.
And we two adults have worked a good part of the day today trying to get that sucker open. Even Googled movies, videos.
Watch the YouTube videos where they say you're supposed to take that little handle, just yes. slide it out.
Yes.
The little,
and then work that into the garage door to open it up. Garage door opener to open it up.
It's contagious. Blame it on Julian.
Julian started all
this.
He
did.
Yes.
Actually, if you kids have the decoder ring, you'll be able to understand everything we're saying tonight. Right?
Yes.
You just have to look at it.
So
Bob is looking at our... Uh-oh. Wait, he gave you the
look. Do you have it open already?
No.
No.
You didn't open it. Don't break your fingernail, Bob.
I won't.
I don't want to be in charge of a manicure. Literally.
But they said you're supposed to be able to slide that thing right into the separation.
So at the breakfast table, we stayed till lunchtime, right?
Yeah.
Working on this sucker. And I hate when the video says something like, it's so simple, you just put this in there and pop it open. And I'm, and you're saying, don't break it. And I'm saying, I know. And then I gave it to you, and then finally we said, we'll take it to Bob. He knows how to do these things.
Because he is, after all, the keeper of the big plug.
And drives. Did he get it open?
Did you get it open?
Oh. Oh, doggone it.
That's why they pay him the big bucks.
There you go.
So what were we not doing? Were we not using enough force? Because
no.
we didn't want to break it.
Yeah, there are pry points that you can tell. I mean, it's got two posts on it, and if you pry near the one post, and once that post releases, it just opens up.
But you could probably see the way I chewed around the edges of it.
Yes. No, I noticed there were quite a few poke marks on it.
I was just trying desperately. I thought, I'm going to be the one to do this. I'm going to show him I can do it. And I went, oh, the hell with it. And I threw it across the table to you. It's so frustrating when something that... Ugh. But that's why there are Bobs in this world.
Yes.
You know? It's like when we couldn't put the stand on our TV. We just called our neighbor. Well, of course, we worked on it all day and night. And then the next day we called our neighbor, and he comes over and he says, your screwdriver's broken.
No. Oh.
How does a screwdriver break?
Yeah.
What? He says, yeah. And then the following week was Christmas, and he gave us a screwdriver for Christmas. Okay.
We need to stop talking now.
We do. A whole lot coming up tonight. Hope that you will stay with us here on WGN.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And that music means we are welcoming the glamorous senior West Coast editor and New York Times bestselling author of The Big Bang Theory, The Definitive Inside Story, Jessica Radloff. Hey, Jessica, how you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Well, we're okay.
Before we get to any show busy stuff, we want to find out how you're doing. You're for people who don't know, you're out on the left coast in California. What's going on? How are you holding up?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're very sweet to ask. It's finally raining here. It started as of a few hours ago, so that is great news. And it doesn't seem to be a heavy rain yet, which is also good because we've been worried about the mudslides and everything, especially as cleanup is starting to begin. So We're supposed to have rain through Monday, and we desperately need it because it has been so dry here. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's been heartwarming to see how the entire community has come together and how so many people that don't live in Los Angeles or Southern California or California in general have just been donating and asking and what can we do to help. But it is so devastating. And my nearly 20 years, I guess, of living here, we're used to fire season, and it's unfortunate that it happens as frequently as it does, but nothing we've ever experienced the magnitude of what has happened over the last few weeks, and it's just devastating. So, you know, it's going to take a really long time, but you know, thank God, like, everybody has really pulled together in the most heartwarming way. So I appreciate you asking.
I don't know if you saw the graphic. It's been floating around various forms of social media that the California wildfire devastation is 8 times greater than the Great Chicago Fire.
Yes, I saw that. It's insane. I mean, it really is. It also shows how vast Southern California is.
And yeah.
You know, that's why it takes everybody forever to get anywhere in this town, because it's just so vast. And to have an entire community like the Pacific Palisades wiped out, I mean, it's unfathomable. There's been nothing like it. And Altadena and, you know, and then the other fires that broke out this week, like, it's hard to wrap your head around. It really is.
Before all of this happened, the award season was getting underway because you were busy covering the Golden Globes, right? And
yeah,
then it was like,
I was at the Golden Globes.
The next day, all hell broke loose.
Did you have to evacuate?
So I didn't have to evacuate, but we came close because I was within a mile or two of the evacuation zone for the last few weeks. And then there was a fire that broke out a couple nights ago around the 405 on Sepulveda near the Getty Center. And I'm not too far from that. So mm-hmm. that was scary, but thank God the firefighters were able to get that under control. But you could see the flames and everything from my apartment balcony. And that was very scary. And I've had a bag packed, you know, with important documents and different things because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And everybody in LA will tell you that we've just been on edge. You know, there's a constant anxiety, sleepless nights, you know.
Well, you posted.
We've just never gone through this before.
You made that post, and I stopped and I thought, that's true. So you didn't lose your home. But if you live there, you're dealing with constant stress mm-hmm. and sleepless nights. And in our case, with 8-year-old Joseph, you know, their home is there, but
yeah.
his friends lost their home, and he's having a hard
yeah.
time comprehending, well, what are they going to do? Where are they going to still go to school with me? And school is out till February. They're not going back to
right.
school till then. So.
Right. No, it's crazy. And I know a lot of people who lost their homes, but also those who had homes that they cannot live in right now. Because
right.
Some of them are still standing, but the smoke is so bad and that
yes.
like you just can't, they're not livable. So it's just so heartbreaking,
yeah.
you know, there's no way around that. You know, as wonderful as the community has been, it is still devastating. To lose your home, I can't even imagine. And that's where it's like you want to do everything you can to help everybody. And, you know, they're saying now, too, people have been donating so much in the way of clothes and products, which is fantastic. Now they just need money to help, you know, whether you're donating to California Wildlife Rescues or the Humane Society or people's GoFundMes. Like, they just need the cash in order to start getting what they need, you know? So that's really where I think the focus is going to be, you know, long-term now is getting people, you know, the help that they need to start an immediate recovery, because it's going to take a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I just read today that I believe it's Palm Springs has made a change to their rental or leasing ordinance to allow people from Los Angeles who need some temporary shelter to be able to find it in Palm Springs for a while.
Wow, I hadn't heard that, but that's so great. And it's not surprising because so many wonderful people and communities have been offering, especially because there's been so much in the way of rent gouging and everything that, you know, so many people have been trying to afford, you know, long-term rentals, and then they can't afford it because there's so much demand and there's not enough availability. So it's great to hear that because, yeah, it's a major problem that Los Angeles is dealing with. And, you know, it's like, what do you do? This is not a short term, like, you know, go find a place for 6 months. This is going to be years.
Yeah.
Well, get back to their community if they even want to.
Right.
And we've used the example of from Hurricane Michael, which happened years ago. We still know there are many friends and many areas in the panhandle that are still not recovered from the devastation that caused.
You drive by and you see the bank is still in shambles. Yeah, they just haven't been able to pull together what they need to rebuild it. There's going to be a concert coming up on January 30th, and boy, this thing is growing. They're calling it Fire Aid, and at this point, we're looking at like 28 artists that are going to be performing.
I wish they would make it a pay-per-view thing, because I would absolutely do that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea, too. I also hope, you know, the Grammys are a few days after that. The Grammys are February 2nd, which is a week from tomorrow. I don't even know what day it is. And when I said that, I was like, oh, my God, it is. It's a week from tomorrow. And the one thing that I do hope is, you know, I don't want it to be a sad gathering with just music that is, I don't want to say depressing, but, you know, you can have music that makes you cry. And I hope this can be an uplifting thing, because that's what music and performances does. It really helps just, you know, energize you and find that joy. And I hope that that's what these concerts or these award shows do, is it doesn't go into a deep sadness of songs, and it becomes something about really, you know, embracing the positivity that's come out of this as well and moving forward and having that strength to do it.
We're talking with Jessica Radloff.
And we were talking just about the Fire Aid concert that is going to occur on Thursday, January 30th. And didn't want to leave you all hanging, because if you're going to be out in L.A., there are two locations where the concert will be held, the concerts with the 28 performers. Probably more will be added, too, over the next few days. Tickets will go on sale Wednesday, $99 a ticket. And Ticketmaster, oh, you got to love them. They're waiving the fees for the event to ensure that all sales benefit fire aid relief efforts.
Good.
Yes, very good. And it's going to be streamed, because we had texts from people saying, well, are we going to be able to see it on television if it's not a pay-per-view? It's going to be streamed on Apple TV, Apple TV Plus, Max, iHeartRadio, KTLA. That's where we've been following the news, because we have Roku. We tune into KTLA, and we follow their exceptional coverage of the fires over especially the first few days. So they'll be carrying it. Netflix, Prime Video, Amazon Music Channel on Twitch, SiriusXM. So there are going to be choices for you. And it will also be shown at select AMC theaters.
Oh, good.
Located throughout the country. So that's really wonderful. So if you're interested in that, kind of decide, do you want to find out if there's a theater? And I'm sure there are going to be some in Chicago where we'll be able to see the concert. And that's all on Thursday night. Jessica, before we talk more about some of the other things that you wear a hat for, and that's writing about television, are you hearing much about the Oscars? Because I think for a while there was some question about whether or not there would be an Oscar show. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes. So the Oscars are definitely going to go on. It is Sunday, March 2nd. Now, with that said, obviously, you know, things in California, especially here in LA, are always changing with the weather. So we haven't heard anything else in the forecast about, you know, wind conditions or anything, but you're always on alert for it. So as long as things stay status quo, the Oscars will definitely happen on Sunday, March 2nd. Like you said, with the concerts happening on January 30th, the Grammys are a week from tomorrow, Sunday, February 2nd. The Critics' Choice Awards, which honor the best in TV and film, that was originally postponed twice. So this is the third time that they've scheduled it, and it is now Friday, February 7th. That will air on E! And Peacock, I believe, as well. So that is the new date for the Critics' Choice Awards, which is always a great show because it combines, you know, the best of film and TV. So that's February 7th. And then the SAG Awards are on Netflix, and that will be Sunday, February 23rd, I believe. Oh. And then, of course, the Oscars on March 2nd. So February is a very busy month.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of talk earlier in the year, a few weeks ago, about whether it was right to even have these award shows. And I do think it is now because, you know, people have been struggling so much in LA from the pandemic and then the writer's strike and the actor's strike. They needed to work. And there's so many people that are employed when you have an award show. So I believe you have to do it, but I think it's great that if you're doing it, that they're finding a way to also make it a fundraising effort and donate. And, you know, that's what you need, because this community can't suffer anymore in terms of losing jobs and not, you know, having things go on. So I do think it's important. And there will be a lot of shows in February and into March. And then, of course, too, there's the Super Bowl thrown in as well.
That's right.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
And the New Orleans also needs it, because they went through a tragic, you know, first day of January. So this is good for the communities to have it, to, you know, raise money to get people back out there and working. So I think it'll take on a new celebratory feel, and everybody will feel really a newfound appreciation for being there. Because everybody knows what we've all collectively been through.
Right.
I want to stay with the Oscars for a second, because I heard something that I just found odd.
Okay.
That instead of having musical performances, the Oscars are going to talk about the musicians and the writers. And what is the rationale of that?
I'm going to be honest and say I don't know. I really don't. And I saw that too. And I understand that they are, because oftentimes, you know, the performers for the Oscar-nominated songs aren't the people that would actually win if they do win. It's the songwriter.
Right.
So I understand what they're trying to do. I don't know how that exactly will translate to TV. And also, of course, you bring in more viewers sometimes by saying, oh, Lady Gaga is going to perform.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
exactly.
So I don't know right now how it's going to look. And I do think that the Oscars, there's still 5 weeks left to go until the show. I think a lot will, of course, change, and it often does. Conan O'Brien will be hosting. He's gone through a lot lately. His parents both passed away. He has been dealing a lot with the fires too. So, you know, the show is going to be the same, but it's also going to be different. And I think we'll see that, just like we did even prior to the fires with the Golden Globes. There was a lot of different changes that we hadn't seen either in a show, whether it was, you know, they didn't broadcast the Cecil B. DeMille Award and the Carol Burnett Award. Those are usually broadcast in the show. They weren't this time. So, you know, everybody's always trying different things to see what's going to work. But I agree with you, Steve. I did not know what that was really about, but we will see.
I've got to tell you, though, I know you covered the Golden Globes. One of the things I actually loved, because I'm kind of a trivia geek, I love the inclusion of kind of odd trivia about the people who won.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know, it's like, really?
Yeah, it was like pop-up video from VH1 Classic or something, you know. But yeah, it was really kind of fun to hear all that, because sometimes those people have a long walk to get up there. So like, you got to keep everybody, you know, preoccupied with stuff.
That's
so,
right.
No, it was good. It was interesting to hear all those fun facts.
Jessica, I know we're going to talk TV and we're going to talk about The Bachelor and a bunch of things, but as we talk TV, I have to ask you if you have seen a show that has become our favorite new TV show. Have you seen Doc?
No.
You've got to see it.
It's wonderful.
Do you know who Molly Parker is?
I do. Tell me. I want to know why you guys love it so much. Well, and why I need to watch it.
I don't know Molly Parker. I am wild about her. I think she's a great actress. And the story, as a doctor, as a hardcore, hard-nosed doctor, and she's got reasons why she's so difficult to be around. She's the chief of staff. She gets in a terrible car accident and has a traumatic brain injury that leaves her not knowing what's happened the last 8 years. And during those 8 years, she got a divorce and her little boy died. And she doesn't know this.
And she's navigating her way through trying to stay a doctor and still work at the hospital. The direction, the actors, everything about this show is one of the best dramas I've seen on TV in years.
Except
for
Scott Wolf. That man never ages.
Yes, you're right about that.
It's scary because I'm like, freeze that picture. He looked that way 20 years ago. How can this be?
Somewhere in his attic, there is a very, very scary picture.
Yes.
Yes. And you know also that Doc, which airs on Fox, it delivered Fox's best series debut in 5 years.
Yes.
So people are watching this show. Clearly, I am not. But... people are watching it, and now I need to watch it on top of everything else that I'm watching, but I love the enthusiasm for it, and this is the big success for Fox, which is great, so yeah, I'm going to need to check this out now.
I've read some posts where people say there's the other medical show, I think it's The Pitts?
The Pit,
right. And people are saying, if it was on network television, it would have a similar following because people just really like these types of shows. Mm-hmm. And apparently that is very well received. It's just that they're not going to have that kind of audience, that size of an audience when they're streaming.
Right. That one stars Noah Wiley, of course, from ER, and he reunited with, I believe, John Wells, who was an EP on ER for The Pit also. This time it's set in a Pittsburgh hospital and not in Chicago. But, that's another one. The Pit as well has already been very well received. And then Doc as well. I need to watch it now.
Well, Noah Wiley.
I said something.
I have to say, though, at least he's aging. He's aging gracefully and naturally. I was like, yes, Scott Wolf. You're scaring me. In fact, he
is aging, except it's not apparent to any of us.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, that's right. His license shows that, in fact, he is aging, but I'm like, whoa. In fact, I said to you the other day, I said, he kind of takes me out of the show because I get so caught up in the fact that he looks so darn good. Frighteningly young.
I know. It's really wild. It truly, truly is. People say the same about Rob Lowe, too. It's like,
yes.
What are they doing?
Yes, yes. Well, there is a little show that's coming back on Monday, and you wrote a great article about The Bachelor that premieres on Monday. Are you excited about this?
You know, I mean, I am. I think we need this kind of TV more than ever right now. It's been a really dark month. So, you know, we need just some mindless TV. As I've talked about on here before, I am so obsessed with The Golden Bachelor and The Golden Bachelorette. That to me is just the most like pure heartwarming show without the drama as much. But I am glad that The Bachelor is back and Grant is fantastic as the lead this time. I talked to him, so that interview that we did will run on Monday. And I have to say, the preview that they're going to show in Monday's episode, I've never seen a preview quite like this, especially what's going to happen in the finale. And I'm really concerned for him now. Because I'm like, what is going to happen here? You have to watch it, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. But it really looks like it's going to be wild this season in a way that we haven't seen in a really long time. So I'm very curious, and I don't know any spoilers. So, you know, I'll be along for the ride, too, with that.
That's crazy. Now you've got me kind of sort of interested. You know, I've always said, we've never had COVID, and we've never watched a Bachelor show. So those are our two claims to fame.
I love it. And that is totally fine. As long as I can get you onto the Golden Bachelor or Golden Bachelorette, that'll make me happy. Mm-mm. But I do understand that, you know, the Bachelor and Bachelorette itself, it can be kind of an acquired taste at times. So yeah. I get that.
Yeah, I really just have a problem when a 61-year-old woman is treated differently than a 71-year-old man is. Yeah. And the terms that they use, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Yep. Hey, we got a fair is fair. We got to treat him the same way that you're treating her.
So true.
Well, have you found time to dive back into Outlander?
I have, and the finale aired, I don't know what day it is anymore, because it feels like January 473rd.
It is, yes.
But it did air recently, and it ended on quite a cliffhanger, because especially for the two leads, Jamie and Claire, they find out that someone very special to them might actually still be alive. So if you haven't seen it, I don't want to completely spoil it. But we did find out that the prequel for Outlander, Blood of My Blood, will premiere this summer. So at least Outlander fans have that to look forward to.
And who's going to be in that?
Season 8. Who's going to be in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, right off the top of my head, I can't tell you because they're not name actors.
Really?
Here, but if you Google, if you go to Glamour.com and you search for Outlander, Blood of My Blood, we have everything in there, the trailer, every actor on it. So, it looks really interesting. But I do have to say, the two shows that are going to premiere in February that I cannot say enough about, because I've already seen them. One is the fourth season of Sweet Magnolias, which is coming back to Netflix, and that's with Joanna Garcia Swisher, Heather Headley, and Brooke Elliott. This season, if you've watched it before, but this season in particular is probably the best one yet. And also Jodie Benson, who was the voice of the Little Mermaid in 1989, also has a role in it this season. And that just, like, I got the biggest kick out of that. But if you need something lighthearted but still juicy and really, like, fun and serene, definitely go with Sweet Magnolias. That's going to drop on February 6th. I believe, on Netflix. And then I've already seen the first two episodes of The White Lotus Season 3, which is coming to HBO and Max on Sunday, February 16th. And let's just say we're all going to be wanting to book a trip to Thailand after this.
Really?
Specifically the Four Seasons Resort that they filmed at, because it is absolutely stunning. And I'm so obsessed with the show in these two episodes that I've already seen. So that's going to be a big, big one for the month of February, too.
And for someone who hasn't seen The White Lotus, what is the premise?
So The White Lotus, it first premiered in, I want to say it was 2020 or 2021, I'm forgetting, but it was based in Maui. The second season was based in Sicily. And basically, it takes place at this White Lotus Resort, which is a stand-in for the Four Seasons. And you get a lot of wealthy people who kind of come to this resort, and they're all of them are kind of a mess in their own way, and there's usually a murder at the very first episode, and it's about finding out, and then you go back a week and you find out who got killed, what's going on, what happened, and it's just the most, like, delicious, fun drama with the most exquisite settings you've ever seen.
So it's like the game of Clue.
I was just going to say
but in a 4-star hotel.
Yes, exactly. And it's just, the performances are so fun. Mike White created it. He directs, he writes, and he just gives us this incredible world to dive into. And I mean, Jennifer Coolidge in season 1 and 2 was just dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
She won every award for
it. She did.
And Parker Posey kind of takes on some of that Coolidge type hilarity in season 3, and she's really fun to watch. I mean, the cast, it's all just outstanding. So if you haven't seen it yet, I suggest going back to Max and watching seasons 1 and 2, especially because there is a returning character this season, so it'll make sense. But it's just great.
Jennifer, we have to break for a second, but just before we do, I have to share with you, because we're receiving texts throughout the show, and this text popped in from the 331 area code, and it says, don't do it. Stay clear of all bachelor and bachelorette programs, golden or not. You'll never get that time back.
That's pretty true. Yes.
Is that my dad?
Yeah, that's your dad.
I apologize. I called you Jennifer. I know your name is Fred.
We were talking.
It's Fred Radloff. There we go.
Remember, she's well, we were talking off the air, too, about Parker Posey, because you mentioned her. And we go back to the days of As the World Turns, when we first saw her. She made her debut, and we just watched her blossom into this wonderful actress. All right, Jessica, a listener says, coming up on Netflix.
Sorry, what'd you call me? It's Fred.
Fred, a listener says, in February, Netflix is offering up Celebrity Bear Hunt. Do you know anything about Celebrity Bear Hunt?
That sounds wrong.
It does.
Is that an April Fool's joke come 2 months early? I know nothing about Celebrity
Bear Hunt. I don't either. Celebrity Bear Hunt. It's like, what are we going to do? Are we going to take the Gary Buseys of Hollywood and say, go out there and...
Well, now I'm curious, do I have any? I'm looking through my emails now because I get every alert from Netflix about what's coming. Celebrity, I see nothing about. Is this for real?
Apparently so. I hope they'll.
I have not heard of this.
Sorry.
Or was it generated by artificial intelligence?
Yeah, artificial intelligence.
Maybe Fred would know.
Wait.
I just did Google it.
Not.
Ron's in the newsroom, and being the news hound that he is, he Googled it, and what happened?
It's going to debut on February 5th. It says the UK on Netflix.
But what is it?
I'm looking for a quick synopsis. A group of British celebrities drop into Central American jungle as prey for one of the world's most fearsome predators.
No!
What?
Bear
so this
believes...
this is not airing in Netflix in the U.S., it's in the U.K.?
It's in the U.K., it says, yes.
Oh, I bet it'll be so wildly popular. We'll have it over here, too.
Oh, my gosh. No. At least I feel a little bit better now, but...
I know you should.
It's very funny.
There is a British show that friends of ours are following called Traitors. And
yes, so popular.
Really? I know. And we watch Graham Norton's show on BBC.
Love him.
And he had the woman who's the host of the show on last week. And she's delightful with her crazy bangs that cover... her eyes, and it looks like a fun show, but I don't know. It seems like there was something like that was tried by Craig Ferguson here in the States, and it just didn't take off.
Right. Well, you have Alan Cumming, who hosts the version that we get to watch here on Peacock.
Oh.
So he's fantastic, too, and this season, the cast list was just crazy, especially because if you're a fan of Vanderpump Rules, like you had Tom Sandoval, and then you actually have Bachelor contestants, and a lot of people are just obsessed with this series, and it's already won Emmy Awards, too. It's one of Peacock's biggest hits.
Wow, and all this time, as they're talking about it on the Graham Norton show, I'm thinking, well, that's a British thing, and lo and behold, on Facebook, my friends are saying, oh, I'm obsessed with the Traitors, and I thought, well, how are you watching this? So there's a U.S. version, and that's where Cummings comes in. Okay.
Yes, but don't feel bad. There is so much TV. It's like, no. It truly is. How can I can't keep up. Like, that is the thing, and it's just really hard. And then you have movies like The Brutalist, as I was talking to your producer, Julian, about, and that's nearly 4 hours long. Like, you would have to not have a day job in order to watch all of this. Even though it is my job, I can't
exactly.
watch all of it.
Or you could have it as your job. So do you literally wake up every day and watch screeners or something to do with your job? I mean, you have to watch television every day?
Yes. And I know people are like, oh, my God, that's amazing. It is and it isn't. It does get hard at times because I also am not a sedentary person. I like to be moving. So so it's hard for me to stick. I'm not that person that can watch 8 hours of TV in one day. But even though I always have the TV on, mind you, it's always on something. But it's hard for me to watch it all, at once. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, but it's a lot of watching TV, yeah. And it's great when I love it, and it's not so great when it's not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have, in watching so much stuff, do you ever find yourself getting a little confused? Oh, wait a minute. No, that was the wrong show, that wrong character.
Oh, I'm scared of it all the time that I will, or like if I'm hosting a panel, that I'll just be like, thinking about another show, like, did this just happen on something else? Especially because I don't know if you've noticed a trend lately where so many shows now, like I just was talking about with The White Lotus, start off with a murder.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out what happened. I mean, we saw it on The Perfect Couple. You're going to see it this coming week with Dan Fogelman's new series, Paradise, on Hulu, which stars Sterling K. Brown. That one starts off with a murder. And it's like, wait a minute here. Who has died and what character is this? It does get really confusing because you're just like, wait a minute, who are you?
Yeah.
What did you play? So, yeah, I always, my notes app on my computer is just filled with every show and keeping notes because it's the only way I can keep track of what's going on.
Well, when will Tracker be back? That's in February, isn't it?
Yes, the mid-season premiere is coming up. I will tell you right now. I want to say it is mid-February because I was just looking at it, actually. Let me see.
Because that's a favorite of ours. That is...
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is coming up. I'm sorry, this is taking me a long time.
That's okay, because...
That's how much stuff is coming up in February. Also, there's another great rom-com on Netflix in February, and it's with Scott Foley, who... I don't know anybody who doesn't love Scott Foley, from Felicity to Scandal. He's so great. It's called La Dolce Villa, and it's a rom-com that takes place in a charming small town in Italy. That is absolutely fantastic. Yellow Jackets also returns in mid-February. So that's something else. And, oh, yes, Tracker is February 16th, which is the same day as The White Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the mid-season premiere date.
And I wanted to ask you about another one that I believe is premiering within a couple days. Watson?
Oh,
yes. Yes, that is actually tomorrow night.
Yeah.
After the AFC Championship game. So that will be premiering with Morris Chestnut on CBS. And 60 Minutes is preempted tomorrow because you've got both the NFC Championship game and the AFC. And, yeah, so 60 Minutes will be preempted. And instead, Watson will have its debut tomorrow night. So that was kind of where, well, not exactly. Tracker premiered after the Super Bowl, so a little bit different. But it's still, I really think, and the AFC game is also going to be huge with the Chiefs and the Bills. So I predict that Watson's going to have a really big premiere tomorrow night.
But if you set your DVR, you better add at least a half hour, maybe an hour, just in case that game goes
long. Hour. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's nothing more frustrating than, oh no, the last 10 minutes are gone because the game went overtime. Well, it is always a pleasure to catch up with you, girl. It really is, and we love reading about you.
I love you, guys.
Where do you want people to go to read what you're writing about television?
I usually always post on my Instagram story, so if they want to go to my Instagram, it's JessicaRadlaw14, and then, of course, on Glamour.com as well, and you can just search my name there, too, and all my articles come up, but there's such great stuff that the whole team is doing, so just go to Glamour.com as well, and then the Watch This Guide will be up tomorrow morning with everything coming this week. And, February is going to be a busy month, and I'm glad to say, too, that we're going to get a lot more lighthearted fare coming in February because God knows we all need it.
Yes, yes. Feel a hug from us. We love you, and we really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Back at you. Thank you both. Have a good night.
Appreciate it.
You
bye-bye
too,
now.
Jessica.
That's Jay Rad.
Okay.
I'm Jay Poo. She's Jay Rad. I think hers is better than mine, but
that works.
On her way to work one morning, down the path alongside the lake,
tender-hearted woman saw a poor half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Oh, well, she cried, I'll take you in and I'll take care of you. Take me in, oh, tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, tender woman. Sighed the snake.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Al Wilson, The Snake. I love that song.
We had a good excuse to play The Snake, too.
Yes. And what might that excuse be?
Well, coming up this next week on Wednesday will be the Lunar New Year. And this year, we will be moving into the Chinese Year of the Snake. And we both said, oh, that's such a great song. That's a great excuse to play The Snake.
And it also seems very appropriate, but that's another story.
Well, you might be looking for ways to grab a little bit more good luck as you move into the new year. Let's just pretend like the other new year didn't happen, that January 1st new year. Let's just all start next Wednesday with the new year.
Okay. And
let me give you some suggestions on things that one should be doing so that we have more good luck.
Okay, let me get me a paper out here. Okay, right. I'll write them all down.
Don't clean the house on the Lunar New Year.
Because you would, what, clean some friends out of your life
all
or something?
All the good stuff gets cleaned out of your house. So you just, it's one day, so let it slide, right? So, don't cut your hair. Don't cut your hair during the first month of Lunar New Year.
You got that, Julian?
Writing this down.
Okay.
Don't buy books and don't send them as gifts. If you have
buy books?
Well, if you have to, you purchase them before the Lunar New Year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you may need
to. But I like books.
Well, I know. And so do the Chinese.
What about the authors?
And so do the people that are celebrating. You just buy them before. There's
and
some,
poor Jeff Bezos on Amazon isn't going to make any money.
Oh, boo hoo. Don't curse, which is really hard to do.
Don't curse.
Don't swear, and don't argue with people on the Lunar New Year.
Oh, boy.
Every day before and every day after, you can make up for it.
Yeah.
This is this is an attempt to protect yourself from misfortune, especially words associated with death, poverty, sickness, or killing. Being polite and gentle is thought to bring one good luck and fortune.
So stay off social media.
That's right. That's what we should add on this list. Don't borrow money during the Lunar New Year celebration. It's considered important to pay off your debts, so you don't want to borrow money.
So borrowing money makes no sense.
No sense. You're right. And if you're lucky, you'll get a little red envelope that has some money inside, because that's a very traditional gift on Chinese New Year. A little red envelope, not a blue envelope, not a green envelope, but a little red envelope. And even though we're both wearing our fashionable winter black, you don't wear black on the Lunar New Year. You want to wear color, and especially red and gold.
I have a red guitar on.
I don't think that's going to fly. You got to wear that cool red satin outfit that you have. Speaking of that, I'm going to have to post the picture of Timothy Chalamet, who's everywhere these days, including Saturday Night Live. He was pictured wearing the most fabulous red satin outfit without a shirt. It was like this stole that went around his neck and off his shoulders, and he had the pants that match. And I was like, you got to be a really strong dude to walk out wearing an outfit like that. Mm-hmm. You really do. And he looks so totally comfortable wearing it, which was even more incredible. I'll post the picture so you guys will know I'm not just being picky. And you need to avoid breaking objects on the Lunar New Year. Even though you want to throw things.
So don't watch your TV.
Yeah. Even though you want to shoot out the TV and do an Elvis, don't do that. Breaking objects such as plates and cups and bowls is often associated with bad luck. Well, of course it is. But during the Lunar New Year, you don't want to do that. So Chicago's going to have some celebrations that will culminate with the full moon, because that's what the whole Lunar New Year is about. You start with the new moon, and it culminates with the full moon. So all of that starts on Wednesday. And
so on Wednesday, you need to moon people.
Yeah.
I'm just writing all that. I want to make sure.
Did you take notes, Ron? Are you?
That's a lot of things to remember, yeah.
Just but don't get your hair cut.
The
don't
thing
swear.
That I will remember most is not to moon people, I think.
Okay.
I don't need a note for that.
You don't. Thank you, Steve.
I've got the hair part down.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult, though, the watching your language these days. It's like, sometimes it just feels good to just say what you feel. And there's certain words that kind of help you say what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we'll take a break, come back, and I'm going to tell you about one more thing you can do during the Lunar New Year that might make your life a little bit better. It's super simple. There's probably a large segment of our audience that says, but I don't have a check. What do you mean I have to have a check? I'll tell you more about this coming up here on WGN.
Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Love that. Barrett Strong, Money. That was the first hit for Motown Records.
Really?
Berry Gordy came to Chicago and produced that. I want to say it was at United Recording here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the song that really gave Berry the financial backing to then go ahead and start doing some things with some of the recording artists in Detroit.
And Barrett Strong went on to do other hit songs?
That was his major, and I don't, he may have had some other lower on the charts hits. But,
what a great name, too. Oh, Barrett Strong.
And he was one of the Motown writers for a long time, too.
Oh, with a voice like that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Money, you're thinking, I immediately hear the ching ching from the Pink Floyd tune Money, but this was a great excuse to play Barrett Strong, because the other thing we need to do on the Chinese New Year, on the new moon, on Wednesday, is we need to, everybody needs a little bit more cash, right?
Yeah.
So we need to just take one step toward assuring that we're going to get a little extra cash in the new year. And all you have to do is the check of abundance. The check of abundance. You need to take a check, take one out of your book, and you're going, but I don't have a checkbook. I don't have checks. Guess what? You can draw a check. You can draw one on a piece of paper, pay to the order of. And here's what you're supposed to do. Within 24 hours of the new moon, you take your check or the picture that you've drawn of a check, and where it says pay to, you write your name. And in the little box on the same line where you would fill in the dollar amount, you write paid in full. And on the line underneath your name where you would write out a dollar amount, again, you write paid in full. You sign the check, the law of abundance. The law of abundance. You don't put a date on the check, because this is something that you're going to carry with you or put maybe on your mirror. So every day you see it and you're putting it out in the universe that you need or you want a little extra money to come into your life, and the universe will take it from there. And we did this for 25 years on the All Night Show.
Sure.
Remember, we used to put up a picture of a check to show people how to fill out their check. But again, you can draw a check because if you don't have a checkbook.
Actually, I could be wrong, but I believe that even drawing your own check, if you were to make a check that you're going to pay someone else with, I think that's legal.
Well, you have to have a checking account. It has to have a number on it.
Yeah, but
because you could write a check on a watermelon as long as you put all the right numbers on it. You could take it to the bank. I know because my mother was a banker for 25 years, mm-hmm. and she said, "You won't believe what people think they can write a check on." Well, I have an account. I just ran out of checks. Why can't I write this check on the back of a turtle? She actually had somebody come in with a case with a turtle and mm-hmm. thought that they, it's like, okay.
Hey, and for those of you who, Johnny will go over it again, but for those of you who are missing it, within the next 24 hours, we will do a blog post
yes.
about the check of abundance.
Yes.
And to check out our blog, go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com.
And I would suggest, seriously, if you want to do this, I know maybe you're thinking it sounds superstitious. It's just all in fun, but it really...
You mean it doesn't work?
Well, it has a lot of history to it, and we've heard from people that claim...
We have, that's true.
That, I'll never forget the guy that claimed that he had never, ever purchased a scratch-off ticket, and when he did, he won $600, and mm-hmm. he claimed it was because he, in that same wallet that he took out the money to buy his scratch-off ticket, he had his check mm-hmm. pay to the order of him and pay in full the law of abundance. And he said, that's the reason. I'll never forget. He was absolutely mm-hmm. giddy when he called in because I think he might have been at a gas station and everything had transpired right then and there. And we got him on the air just as he'd scratched off and found out that he won cash money. So, again, not a big deal, but it's a tradition. And it is, it's called, the law of abundance. Just mm-hmm. that simple. And
but you have to do that within the next...
You have to do that within 24 hours of the new moon. So you wait till the new moon on Wednesday, and then within 24 hours before the moon starts growing, and all of this ends at the full moon when we get into February. But I know it's when I say it out loud, I can hear people's eyes rolling. You know, like, really? Seriously, check it out. It's been around forever.
Julian, do we have any sound effects of eyes rolling?
We can just open his mic and we can hear it from his side. No, he's shaking his head. No. Is that the rattle I hear? Compared to the rolling of the eyes, it's the rattle that I hear. So Wednesday is the new moon. And watch the space because we'll talk some. I think we're on the air the night before the big parade in Chinatown in Chicago.
Yes.
That might be a good excuse to bring in Chinese food. Let's have Chinese food that
night.
Well,
I like that.
Let's do it. You all right with that, Julian?
I love Chinese food. I'm having some tomorrow.
Are you? What are you going for?
Ooh, I'm a rice guy.
Are you?
Okay. White rice, brown rice, what kind of rice?
Fried brown rice with a variety of meats. I'm a bit of a carnivore.
Mm. Okay.
I like the shrimp in it, those little baby shrimps.
Little baby shrimps, some beef.
Yes.
Orange chicken.
Orange chicken. Oh, my gosh.
Lo mein.
Oh, I make a pretty good orange chicken.
You make a wonderful orange chicken.
Gluten-free. And let me just say as an aside, believe it or not, you can't just go into a Chinese restaurant and because you're eating rice and you're eating vegetables and such, if it has soy sauce in it, that soy sauce has wheat in it. So you need to get soy sauce, and Kikkoman makes a soy sauce that does not have wheat in it. It's clearly labeled gluten-free soy sauce.
When we used to go to the House of Chan in Panama City Beach, Florida, we would take our own soy sauce.
But prior to that, prior to your diagnosis, oh, it was so wonderful to go in there and get a poo-poo platter.
Oh, I used to love that.
Oh, have you ever had a poo-poo platter?
No, I just love to say it, though.
No.
I love a good poo-poo platter.
Julian, they would bring out like a Lazy Susan, right? And you could just spin it around, and it would be shrimp toast, and it would be just things you didn't
egg
even
rolls.
Egg rolls and
dumplings
and yep. fried shrimp. It'd be like a little bit of everything on that
it
one.
Was to die for.
Why it's a poo-poo platter, I don't know, but gosh, with a good drink with an umbrella in it, that was living. That was living. That was good eating, too.
Ron, you had poo-poo platters?
I have not.
you don't
know what I'm missing, apparently.
You would love them, I think.
Do you like Chinese food?
I do, yeah. That
okay,
sounds great.
I'm going to make us a gluten-free Chinese meal, and I'm going to bring it in the night. Well, I guess it would be February 1st.
It would be next Saturday, right?
No, 2 weeks from tonight.
2 weeks, okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
Right?
No.
No. Oh,
next
no.
Next Saturday.
Oh, second thought, I might be busy.
It's the thought that counts.
Yes.
You're poo-pooing that idea.
Nice one, Ron.
Okay. You only do one show a night, right?
That's it. I'm done. Thank you very much. I got to go.
Give us some tips like I used to get as a waitress. You know, the third horse in the fifth race. Drive with your lights on. You know, really cute things like that. And go, yeah, right. And you want me to serve you your food? Yeah, this is going to get real ugly. Well, Happy New Year, you guys. It's all going to start on Wednesday. So we got you ready. Take your checks out. Sign up for a law of abundance. Get a little bit more money in your life. Don't cut your hair. Don't swear. Don't break things. Don't shoot out your TV. Even though you really want to,
yeah,
don't do that.
Especially these days.
Yes, don't do that. And Happy New Year.
Okay. We want to address a couple things. One of them, for the past couple weeks, people have been asking us about our cautionary repair service tale. Do you want to get to that, or do we want to do social media thing
We
first?
Ran out of time a couple weeks ago when we were just steaming because of the nightmarish experience. We were just trying to get the igniter replaced on our oven. I can't believe the number of people that texted and said, oh, just Google it. You can change it yourself. No, I'm not going to open up my gas oven and take it apart and change the igniter. Sorry, I don't care what I watch. If you listened earlier, you know we watched the video to try to open up our garage door opener, and that didn't work, so I'm not going to go opening up my oven. Anyway, we wasted two full days from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening, 2 days waiting for a company that just yanked us around. Just
do we want to mention the...
So frustrating.
What do you think?
Well, the store is long gone, but the name is still associated with this repair service.
So think of
a major
chain that had been around for years,
and I'll help
catalogs
you.
And all kinds of things.
I'll help you out. My oven is a Kenmore.
Yeah.
So that's why I went to this company, because I thought, well, I know there's no store, but the name is still associated. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, when you go to that company, the very first name brand that they service is the Kenmore. So mm-hmm. I thought, I'm in good hands. So the guy comes out to the house.
Nice enough guy.
You can tell he was seasoned. He'd been doing this for a few years, but he was also fed up with the way he was being treated as a professional repairman.
Now, he comes in, very nice, and right away he diagnoses and said, yep, you need to get a new igniter.
But I don't have one on the truck.
Right.
I'm not in my truck. My truck is in repair, so I don't have one with me. I need to buy one. So he checked it out, and he got a price, and he said, the credit card they give us repairmen has a $100 limit, and your part is $141. So he started making phone calls to get someone to approve him purchasing the part.
So he's calling his own company. He made, and I watched, 4 different calls to his own bosses, never got an answer.
Then he took the time to call other repairmen to see if anyone was in the neighborhood that might have one on their truck. No one had one. They said, well, you just got to buy it. So he said, well, it looks like I'm just going to have to buy it. You're going to have to pay it in advance, and then we'll order it, and I'll be back in a couple weeks. And he made a date to come back in 2 weeks. Well, lo and behold, it arrived just a matter of days later. And shortly after that, I got an email saying, we understand your part has arrived. I went, wow, okay, this is great. This company's really on top of things. So we want to move up your service date from 2 weeks from now. How about someday this week? So I chose a Thursday. Well,
and they said, the option of doing it first thing in the morning was available. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, we'll take that.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock in the morning, we made coffee. And I sat in the window in our living room and waited and waited. And I probably got up because that was the day of President Carter's funeral. So right. I had walked into the TV room to see what was going on.
But while you were not in the in the living room, I was. Mm-hmm. So one of us was in the front of the house watching all day. And let me emphasize all day, because now when it gets to 6 in the evening and no one has shown up, and we get the text saying, we're at your house and nobody was there.
Yeah, so we're going to have to reschedule. I went, okay. The doorbell works. You're supposed to text me. You're supposed to call me. That was part of the whole deal. You know, we're going to be in touch with you throughout this whole procedure. So I then called the company. You don't get a person. You get automation. It says, would you like to reschedule? I said, yes. Can we reschedule for tomorrow morning? And tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock comes, and now we're glued to the window. We're going to see this guy when he drives up, and he's not going to walk away, right? He's not going to drive away. When it got to be 10 o'clock, I sent a text, and I said, where is he? And they wrote back and said, he's one call away. Yep. You're next.
Yep.
It got to be noon, and I reached out again, and they said, he's one call away. You're next. 2 o'clock, we're still one call away. 4 o'clock,
one call away.
I said, this is insane. We're giving him till 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock, he was still
one call away. There was no guy. He was not one call away. So I decided at that point, that's it. We're going to cancel these people. I cannot waste another day. We've wasted 2 days. I mean, literally 2 days, tied to the living room window and holding my phone. God forbid I lay down my phone and he's going to contact me, right? So I went about canceling. I said, that's it. And then I was so angry, I went to the credit card company because I had to pay in advance, not only for the part, but for the installation, the repair, $530. And I thought, nope, I am not going to eat $530. Yes, I've got an igniter. And I also have a bill that shows me what that igniter costs. So I'm going to take that out of the cost, and I'm going to challenge this with my credit card company. And they were great. They said, fine, you know, we'll take it from there. And I heard from them on Friday, and they said, well, they have come back and said, you canceled. And I said, now I'm shaking. I'm holding the phone. And the nice woman on the other end says, I understand. This was not easy, right? I said, no, do you want to hear? And so I proceeded to tell her, and she said, I've got it on this end. Don't worry. Because they were claiming that, no, I needed to pay the whole $500 because I had canceled.
But in the interim, we found a local company.
Yes.
Called them, made an appointment. They came out at the appointed time.
Yes.
And in less than an hour, installed, done, good company. We're going to use them in the future.
And lo and behold, guess what? I had purchased 2 igniters.
The guy looks in the box and he said, there's two here. Why?
Because here's what it was. I said to him, how much would your company charge for an igniter? And he said, oh, $50, $60. He said, it depends. I said, 50 or 60. I said, well, I paid more than double that. And he looked in the box. He said, because you have 2. What? Why do I have 2? And as luck would have it, I said, would you go downstairs to the apartment downstairs and see if this fits that oven? No, it doesn't. So I have an extra igniter. He says they probably go out like every 20, 25 years. So I'll be dead when it goes out. And the stove, And this was not worth getting a replacement stove. This is a wonderful stove. I just could not imagine replacing it because of the igniter. And $500-something was a lot of money, but no. Mm-mm. So, word to the, from our experience, mm-hmm. don't go there. Do not go there.
We will never, ever, ever use that.
You never speak to a human
company
being.
That used to have a lot of stores.
Yes,
again,
and a great Christmas catalog.
Yeah,
but they don't. They have people that work for them that are just as frustrated because they can't get a hold of a human being to answer their questions, and they're walking around with a credit card with $100 limit on it, so they can't even do their job. Of course, if he'd only purchased one igniter, it would have been less than $100. So that's mm-hmm. a little troubling, and I don't know why we had to, but. Anyway, this will be, I guess, resolved, and hopefully they'll just say, mm-hmm. we don't want this naggy woman on our back, so we're just not going to push for that $300-something that she says that she does not want to pay, and I don't think I should have to pay it. No one ever darkened our door to repair the mm-hmm. darn thing, so.
As long as we are haranguing.
Yes.
I'm going to segue the harangue for a second. If you are one of the many people who, like us, suddenly found on Facebook you were following people you had never followed, and I'm surprised that Snopes said this is not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a thing. Within the past week, Mark Zuckerberg saw to it that we were following Trump and Vance. Now, if I chose to follow either of them, that would be my choice. Do not tell me automatically that I'm following them and have that pop up in my feed.
Mm-hmm.
We know a number, and this happened to me, it happened to Johnny, it happened to any of a number of mm-hmm. our friends. What you do is you go to, on Facebook.
And when you go to your About page, when you click under your picture, your pictures, that's going to be your cover picture and your profile picture, and About You, click on that, and then it's going to show all of these things about you. And when you scroll down to the bottom, it's going to say following.
And interesting, you will see the people that you follow are pretty much in chronological order.
Right.
So right at the top of the list, oh gosh, gee, for
what?
Some reason within the past week, I suddenly decided, no, I did not decide to follow them, and I have blocked both of them now.
And then a story came out that it was a glitch.
Yeah,
that
right.
What happened was that you had previously followed the previous administration, and then when the that never happened.
Nope,
and then
nope.
I was really offended by you probably followed the previous administration, but that was 4 years ago, and you forgot.
And I am still following the members of the previous administration.
Isn't that interesting? How that?
Yeah. So
really,
that did not change. Mm-hmm. So the point is, Zuckerberg has decided, it's one of many stupid things he's decided, that we should all be following them.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to follow them. Go to your About, scroll down.
If you find the names of anybody that you do not want to be associated with, because believe it or not, when you go to those pages, there your name is. If you do not want to be following anybody.
That's how we found out from a friend of ours. You're following them? No.
No. So then we went to our list, and sure enough, because she was also upset because she said, wait, how did this happen? And that's when she saw our names mm-hmm. on there, your friends that are also following. And I thought, this is really, really weird.
And that is one of many reasons why we hope that you will start following us two places. One, our blog, which is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. If you go there, we'd appreciate it if you would subscribe. There's no fee We don't spam you. You just get an email when we do a new post. And also, if you would follow us on Blue Sky, and you can just go to Blue Sky and do a search for Steve and Johnny, and we'll come up. And if you would follow us there, because while we're still on Facebook, I don't know how much longer we're going to be on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because just the way Zucker, I don't know how much longer we're going to be on Facebook or Instagram or Threads.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zuckerberg is just getting a little too strange. So we are going to, over the next weeks, we're going to be segueing away from mm-hmm. Facebook. So please, we would like to stay in touch with you. And if you would follow us on Blue Sky and on our blog, we'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's simple. A listener said earlier tonight, I wish you were someplace else because I refuse to go there. And I said, we are. Follow us on the blog. And she said, oh, well, thanks. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Just that simple. And, transitioning over to Blue Sky, hopefully it's going to stay safe, pleasant.
Yeah. Well, and you have more control over what you see on Blue Sky.
Yes, you absolutely do. It's not all about algorithms. But
Blue Sky is kind of like Twitter X pre-Musk.
Right. And so hopefully it stays a safe, pleasant place to be, because right now it is. We're watching it grow and flourish, and more people are going there. And especially in the past week, more and more people have decided, I was kind of resisting it, but I think I'm going to jump. And I think there are going to be a number of people that are going to decide that this Facebook is just nonsense.
Yeah.
It's kind of been going there for a while, but this past week...
It has escalated within the past week like crazy.
Yeah. We have to take a break. We'll be right back here on WGN.
Well, you know you make me want to shout out my hands up.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Okay, who is that, Julian?
Joan Jett.
Oh!
I should have said so. Gosh. Because I'm thinking, she's rocking out that sounds like Joan Jett. I never knew she did that tune.
I didn't either.
That's a little rocker. All right, a little shout out tonight, and I would like to welcome in two new states. We have PA checking in tonight, and Utah.
Cool.
Pittsburgh, PA. And I texted back to the listener and said, what part of Utah are you in? Because you're a new one for us on the map. I'd like to say hello to Alice Selke. She's our wonderful 100-plus-year-old listener. Yes, Alice, thank you for tuning in.
We really have to get her back on the show.
We do. She's got a great story. Donna Youngheim and Ron Hitzler and Terry Knight in Batavia, Nora Rosansky, Sherry and Bob in Arlington Heights, Don in Portage, Michigan, Dean in Indy, Scott and Pierre, South Dakota, Robbins in Dyer, Indiana, Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville, David Shine and his cat named Kedzie are tuned in. Bonnie and George and Elgin.
There's a song in that.
Well, then there's Laura with Cotton. So we got a lot of animals tuned in tonight. Bonnie and Butternut, Wisconsin. Greg Borgman. Jan and Norb in Pittsburgh, PA. Mary Ellen Vance is in Shelbyville, Tennessee. We've had Tennessee, but not Shelbyville check in. Roy Phillips and Peter Jacobowitz and Celine Ellers and Patricia Koch, who's in Hobart, Indiana, as is our best friend of this radio station, Chuck Snitchler in Hobart, Indiana. Elizabeth Blackmore Holland is, I almost said she's in Holland, but she's actually in Naperville. That's just her last name. Janet Gellert's in Gainesville, Florida. Eric Baum sent us a lovely lighthouse picture from his home in Wells Beach, Maine. If you scroll through, you will see the pictures. He said tonight's picture is from Monday of the Portland headlight to the entrance of the Portland Harbor. He asked about our mapping project. Well, I'm saving all of the information. I just haven't rolled out the big map yet. Delphine Berriman is in Chicago. Yay, Chicago's tuned in. Greg Borman's in Muskegon, Michigan. Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Ed Wales tuned in tonight in the UP, where it's snowing tonight. And he said the moose love it up here in the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, hey there.
Robin Marin is in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Rich Wade is in Troy, Missouri. Robin Aiken in Port Charlotte, Florida. Getting out there. Even in Bridgeview, Illinois, because that's where Terry Brock is listening on his GE Boombox. Beverly Ann Goodall is in Highwood, Illinois. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. Bonnie Pearson, Grays Lake. Margot Moore is in Albuquerque. Jim Smith is in Chicago on the northwest side. Tracy Douglas is listening in Savannah. Kathy Abnor is with her brother Ralph tuned in. Linda Moeller is in the Oklahoma Panhandle. Carol Tyler Roberts is in PCB, where the ice and snow is gone, finally. She's there on vacation. That's so weird.
We had a neighbor who just went down to Panama City Beach on vacation this past week, and the timing couldn't have been worse.
She tried to go on Tuesday while the whole town was shutting down. Todd Brickle is tuned in. Michelle Gregory's in Vernon Hills. Fred Husar's in Lyons. Larry Mann is in Miami. Scott Cooper is Naperville, and Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Thankfully, no snow there. Jan Reinhart tuned in. Our buddy Bobby Danos is listening on his clock radio out in Sandwich, Illinois. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, she made a cute one this week. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha, K-Town. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. And Tom Murphy's in Lakeland, Florida. Joan Bloom in Greenville, South Carolina. Lester Clyden, who's going back to work in a week, but can listen to us on the weekend from Countryside. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. Tom Kazmarek in Highland Park. Gene Jacobson in Milwaukee. And I think I just about run out of breath. Palm Coast, Florida. Carrie Johnson tuned in. Nancy Nosek in South Holland. And if I missed you this week, I will get you next week. So you better tune in. We have a full show next week.
We may have to come up with some sort of an online map where we were able to put pins in an online
map.
Well,
we could take our big map that Bob gave us for Christmas. And we could put the pins in and take a picture of it and put that up on our page.
Okay, we could do that
too.
Okay.
I think we need an intern to do all these busy things we've got going on here.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Those of you who are regular listeners realize that when we take this kind of a musical detour, it can mean only one thing. That we are about to talk, believe it or not, cars with the publisher of Consumer Guide. That would be your Tom Appel. And that we're hearing some of the songs that he uses to test the sound systems of various vehicles that he test drives. So this was one of Tom's cartoons. And Tom, what is tonight's cartoons theme?
Our theme is Africa Rocks.
And who was that?
That's a band called Orchestra Baobab. They're still active. And that song was Papa Nidea off the album Made in Dakar from 2007.
I have to ask, how did you stumble onto that one?
This one was actually recommended by a friend. I have a friend who frequently
vacations.
Yeah. Just the one. She frequently vacations in Mallorca, Spain, and apparently this band tours Spain fairly frequently. I guess it's not too far from their homeland of Senegal, but they're a very popular kind of jam band. They're sort of the African Grateful Dead, but a surprisingly popular band on the continent. Okay.
I love it. So we're going to be rocking Africa.
Yes.
Very cool.
We have so many things to get to tonight, but I want to start with something that you did a couple days ago that I believe got so popular it managed to shut down your website for a while.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
There was a blog post that Tom did about the Tesla Cybertruck. You want to explain all this to us?
Yeah, I wrote an article. I finally got my thoughts together on this. And it's not a very simple concept, but the Cybertruck is a flop for a bunch of reasons. But I wrote an article called "The Cybertruck is a Flop" for a lot of reasons you may not have thought of. And there's just so much that is riding on this truck for Tesla and then for people who just have jobs in the auto industry. And it's amazing that it got this far and was this bad and is now just dying in the marketplace. But yeah, it's a tragic situation, and there's really nothing funny about it because the ramifications are huge. And sort of a nutshell thought that I have about this is, why is Elon Musk still the CEO of this company?
Mm-hmm.
He takes these fantastic leaps. And if people remember this, the Model X, which is their large crossover, it doesn't sell very well, has gullwing rear doors for no reason. They open up. They're like Falcon doors. They call them Falcon doors. There was no reason for this, but this particular feature of that vehicle delayed the vehicle three times and then was the subject of many recalls. And it was just this really weird thing to do. And the Cybertruck is a compilation of weird and dumb things that were applied to a vehicle that was meant to be taken seriously. And it has died in the marketplace. And without going into too much detail, this is going to hurt Tesla a great deal.
And let me say, because I can hear some people yelling at their speakers, oh, this is political, you don't like my... This has nothing to do with politics, although, no, I personally don't like Musk. But read this blog post. It is, I told Tom earlier this week, I think it is one of the best researched and most thorough, well-written blog posts
and
he's
impassioned.
Ever done.
I mean, yeah. Your feelings come through loud and clear and fairly. You lay out your case, and you got my attention using the word Teslarati.
Yes.
The quote Teslarati, it can be nearly impossible to have a civil e-conversation about Tesla without the Teslarati leaping into the digital fray to defend the company and its products from the masses trying to make sense of electric car news. And you go on and on. But I think you must have been pleased with the reaction and the fact that a lot of people, in fact, I'm looking at one guy that says, I'm not even a car guy, but I was pulled into the article.
Yeah.
It's a great read.
And Tom, I would like to ask you, I don't want you to give everything away because we want people to go to consumerguide.com and read the blog. But would you explain one thing that I found fascinating?
Uh-huh.
You were talking about being at an auto show where, okay, here is the Cybertruck. Now, when they're at an auto show, this means this is the cream of the crop. They're putting out there because they want the press and everyone else to see how good this is. So you get in this, and what did you discover?
Yeah, it's prepped for the auto show. I'm at the auto show. This is last year's Chicago Auto Show, so back in February a year ago. And the fits and finishes of this vehicle were so disappointing. The interior is very simple, and that's typically Tesla, but you can see how panels don't light up. And it's not just the interior. The stainless steel body itself is not an even finish. It's a brushed finish that should be very even, and it's not. And the creases at the edge of these things are periodically sharp, like someone could hurt their finger, running their finger along the side of the car. It's stunning how poorly assembled this vehicle was, and one assumes that this was a better example of the breed.
Because they're saying, okay, this is the best of what we do, so we're putting it out on the show, and bleh.
Yeah, so many things about that vehicle were underdeveloped. The wheel covers that you see on most of these are kind of interesting looking. I had suggested online that they were ugly, and I was beat up by the Teslarati. But it turns out that these wheel covers are digging into the sidewalls of the tire. And that's the sort of thing that suggests to you that this vehicle was not finished when it was brought to production. I mean, they should have noticed that the wheel covers don't actually work and they're damaging the tires. But, I mean, that's inexcusable.
And I'm going to go back to the gull-wing doors. Okay. Mm-hmm. The concept of gull-wing doors has been around for a long time. But you would think if you're going to put gull-wing doors on a vehicle, wouldn't you kind of want to do it for the driver and the front passenger? Why are you doing it? You don't have them on the front of the vehicle. You have them for the rear seats.
The back seats.
That are not going to be used that often.
It's baffling, and I have no answer for you why they did this. And I've seen them work, right? The rear doors do, in fact, open in tight spaces. That's great. But someone had to drive the car into that tight space. and they can't get out of the vehicle.
So to get out, once the driver drives it, they have to crawl into the back seat
to get out.
What?
Oh. And if you're careful, you won't get hung up on anything as you're crawling into the back seat.
So go to consumerguide.com and just take a look at the blog. It's a bit of a long read, but it is a well-researched, well-written.
You should be proud, Tom. It's a really good article. We're going to take a break, come back. We have some recall news. And, Tom, let's take a minute and talk a little bit about the news about the plant in Belvedere. And that's some really good news.
Yes, it is.
It's going to take some time, but at least it's some good news. So we'll continue talking cars with Tom. My mouth just decided to check out. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars and trucks and things with wheels with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide. And we're digging Tom's tunes. And Tom, who is this and what is this?
This is a Nigerian percussionist by the name of Fela Kuti. And folks who are not familiar with him are certainly familiar with his work. He used to hang out with Ginger Baker and had jammed with him several times in concert. And there is a recording of the two playing together. And Fela was Paul McCartney was a big fan of Fela and was known to show up in his audience from time to time. But that was off an album called Roforo Rofo Fight from 1972.
Easy for you to say.
No.
And Fela is F-E-L-A, if you want to check him out, F-E-L-A-K-U-T-I.
Yeah.
That was good. That was interesting. I just have visions of I'm going back to the Grateful Dead of Africa. Let's talk some good news, because there's a whole bunch of recall stuff that's not so good news. But the good news out of Rockford last week was about the Belvedere plant. And it looks like something's going to happen there, right?
Yeah, and what was going to happen there was always kind of up in the air. But back when we thought that people were going to buy an awful lot of electric vehicles, or a lot more than they are, Stellantis was talking about building a Ram midsize electric truck there. And there is not yet such a vehicle in the segment, so that had some potential. But as the time went by, it seemed more and more clear that electric pickup trucks aren't that popular. In fact, we know that Ram just pushed back the launch of its Ram electric Ram, the REV. So that was kind of up in the air, and that had closed in 2023. They used to build the Cherokee there. Sales of the Cherokee kind of fell. But the news now is that for 2027, they will be building a midsize pickup truck there. It's probably not going to be electric. or at least not electric only. And that's just fine, because that is, mid-sized pickups are probably one of the few growing segments right now. The Toyota Tacoma is all new. All the other vehicles in that segment have been updated recently. So it's kind of a lot of energy there. So this makes sense for them. I don't know if they can fill the plant building just that vehicle, but it's nice to see some people going back to work.
Right. They're talking about like 1,500 UAW members will be hired to work there.
Now, will this be just one branded vehicle, or will it be a number of vehicles with different Stellantis brands?
Could be a couple of things. So there would definitely be a Ram vehicle, and it might be called Dakota again. But what we might see happen is that another maker interested in selling a vehicle, a mid-sized pickup truck, might buy a version of that to retail themselves from Stellantis. And that would help fill the factory.
Okay, so some good news. Now, let's get down to the bad news when it comes to recalls this week. Wow.
This GM recall. Good grief.
Yeah, at least it's not a recall yet, although it probably will be. I think there's sufficient evidence that this may move to recall stage. But right now, there's a huge investigation into 900,000 General Motors trucks. These are all their big trucks. So the Suburban, the Tahoe, the Escalade, and the Yukon, and all the pickup trucks, the big pickup trucks. And there's a problem with the excellent 6.2 liter V8 engine, which is really a honey, but unfortunately it sounds like bearings are failing, and when a bearing fails, the whole engine fails. So we're waiting to find out if this becomes an official recall or if they just have an anomalous number of these things. But it's probably very bad news for GM. And we thought that 100,000 Toyota engines was a big deal. Mm-hmm. 900,000 engines is a bigger deal.
So it includes the Chevy Silverado, the GMC Sierra, the Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, Yukon, Cadillac Escalade.
A lot of GM's big money vehicles.
Yeah.
Yep. This is their profit center. This is the wallet of WGN. I'm sorry, of General Motors.
And it covers years 2019 all the way up to 2024.
Yes, that's what I've got. 19 to 24. Yeah, bunch of vehicles. Now for the Chevys, this was an optional engine. And a very expensive option. So there's probably not that many Chevys involved.
Okay.
But that's every single Cadillac and a lot of GMCs.
And again, there have been no crashes that we know of. This is just an investigation that they're doing to determine if they do need to do a recall, right?
Yeah, and probably the way this would happen, if your bearing fails, the engine's going to start to squeak and make a lot of noise and then fail relatively quickly and not restart. So an unpleasant experience, probably not a life-threatening situation, but it could be.
So is that what they mean when they say the engine seizes up or it locks up?
Yeah, because once the bearing starts to fail, it's going to overheat crazy, and it's just going to lock up around the crankshaft.
Ooh, I can see. Well, watch the space. We'll keep you posted on that. Again, 900,000 vehicles. If you've got one of those vehicles, just be aware. And maybe call your dealership and find out if they'll let you know as soon as they know that something's going on.
But yeah, because at this point, not a recall yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's segue into recalls. What do we have in this week in recalls?
We have an interesting Ford recall here for the Ford Bronco and the Ford Maverick small pickup truck. And it's interesting because we talked about this recall before, and at the time it was a software update, but now they're actually replacing the 12-volt batteries. So something that was regulating use of the 12-volt battery didn't fix the problem with the batteries themselves, which turned out to be defective. A lot of vehicles, 272,000. 21 through 2023 Broncos and 2022 through 2023 Mavericks. And word is going out February 3rd.
Customers report battery failures that have affected functions, including steering. Okay, that'll get your attention. And hazard lights and the number of vehicles in need of inspection and potential repair. As you say, over 270,000. Ford said they were calling. Have they sent out letters yet, Tom? I haven't seen that anyplace.
No, they go out early next month.
Okay. Wow. Any other recall news that we should heap on top of all of these biggies?
An interesting one, it's a little bit smaller, but about 60,000 Jeep Cherokees, and this is topical because these used to be built up in Belvedere, they're mid-sized crossovers. There's a transmission problem where the transmission can lock up and or the vehicle may slip out of park. So that fixed $60,000 units, and word goes out February 13th to affected owners.
Explain to people how they can check to see if there's been a recall on their vehicle. Wouldn't you recommend just going to the NHTSA website, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration website, put in your VIN number, your 17-digit VIN number, and then information will come up if there's been a recall, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's just nhtsa.gov/recalls. Yeah, and then that'll take you right there, and you can just enter your VIN, and if anything pops up, there it is.
Now, if you don't know what your VIN is, it's on that sticker that's right up there on your dash, right? By the windshield, by the dash?
Yeah, there's a plate on the driver's side right up by the dashboard that you can read through the windshield.
And or if you still have your sticker, that's also on the sticker.
And it should be on your insurance card,
yeah,
too.
Yep, and your bill of sale and your registration.
Right.
It's a lot of places.
Right.
And it's really, really easy to make a mistake entering that. And there's a couple of things here. There are no I's. Those are ones. And there are no O's. Those are zeros.
Okay, good point. And last time you were on, the listener said we had mentioned Monroney sticker. And said, who is this? As the
and there actually was a guy named Monroney, right?
I think, wasn't
Senator
it?
Monroney.
Senator,
yeah.
Monroney,
yeah.
Yes. But the funny thing was the listener had texted, and you were already gone that night, but they said Mulroney. I thought, okay, it's coming up as baloney, baroni. No, it's Monroney. And it
Monroney.
Was a, it was a real person, too. This was the senator that said we need to have this information available on a sticker on the window so people can see what they're buying, right?
Well, yes, and one of the most important things is that there is a price on the window sticker so that people know. Because before that, dealers could just lie to you about the price. It was very difficult to negotiate a price because
you didn't know
where they were starting from.
Interesting. Well, we got a lot more ground to cover with Tom. Stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of Tom Appel's cartoons. Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom, who is that and what is that?
That's a song called Rojo Carmen by a band called Noyan Afrobeat. And Noyan Afrobeat, not actually African, they're Chilean, but they're inspired by the work of Fela Kuti. So this is sort of a Fela Kuti tribute band, if it were.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm just in awe because I love the music. I mean, it's different. And that reminded me a little bit of something from the 60s.
A little bit of Hugh Masekela-ish.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so rocking Africa tonight with Tom. What have you been driving lately, Tom?
I just had, and I'm still having, an interesting encounter with the Ford F-150 Lightning, which is Ford's electric full-size pickup truck. And I took delivery on what was the coldest day probably in 12 months. And as people may know, cold weather can have a brutal impact on batteries, and this vehicle was subject to that brutality. Actually, should have a range of 320 miles per the EPA, but as delivered, and I wrote these numbers down because I wanted to keep track of all of these. I had what was called a 100% battery capacity, but my range was down to just 173 miles, and I drove it a little bit, and the range was falling far, far faster than it should have, and faster than the odometer was clicking off. But the next day, things warmed up considerably, and the range actually bounced back without charging. Very strange experience.
Interesting. Why would the range... So basically, if I'm interpreting this correctly, the temperature has that much of an impact on the electric vehicle battery.
Yeah, the battery's sweet spot, it seems to be, for most electric vehicle chemistry, and most of the vehicles out there are lithium ion, seems to be between like 40 and 80 degrees. And in that particular area, a lot of people see range far in excess of the EPA estimates. But when things get warmer, things fall. And when things get colder, they fall very, very quickly. And even today, with temperatures in the mid-30s, I charged at a public level 3 charging station, and that was taking far longer than it should.
Again, it's pushing 40 degrees today. That's kind of weird.
It was a little weird, and the battery was cold. Car was parked outside. I did not precondition, which is a thing that people do that can bring the battery up to a temperature that makes it easier to charge or more receptive to charging. So I didn't do that. So
stop right there. Jargon alert. What is preconditioning?
Uh-huh. Yeah, people might remember when we talked about the Tesla situation at O'Hare last year when it got cold.
Right.
And same situation. You can ready your battery for charging. And there's a function. It's sometimes hard to find, but if you use the app, generally your car will start to reserve a charger. Generally, the car will start to precondition the battery. Uh-huh. It uses a little energy, but once the battery is warm, far more receptive to charging.
So it's kind of like being inside and remote starting your car, but you're not remote starting your car. You're telling the battery, get ready.
Yep, exactly.
Is the Lightning a comfortable vehicle?
It's a fantastic vehicle. I can't tell you how much I enjoy driving this thing. It's so quick. It's so quiet. The ride and handling. Ford makes the best handling big trucks, I think. And this is no exception, even though it is much heavier because of the battery. But this is a really good vehicle. It's a little expensive. This one comes in a little bit over $80,000. And it's not especially luxurious. It's got cloth seating and not a lot of high-end options on the inside. But really a wonderful thing to drive.
Wait. Cloth seats and it's over 80,000?
Yep. So there were things done to kind of keep this vehicle less expensive than you might expect an EV to be.
So if you had leather seats, how much would it be?
I'm pretty sure you can get this vehicle very close to $100,000 if you equip it that way.
Wow. You get a radio with that at 80, right?
Just least. AM, yes.
Good. As it should be. Okay.
Single speaker, just AM, yeah.
Well, but speaking of Ford, what was the quote that I heard from the head Ford honcho? Something about that they were going to start building trucks that they want to be the equivalent of what, the Mercedes or the BMW of off-road vehicles or something like that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we had Damon Bell of Cars.com on the podcast, and Cars.com had done a three-way pickup truck comparison. The pickup trucks that they compared all came in at $90,000.
Wow.
And these were half-ton pickups. So that's what's happening with pickup trucks these days. They're really the new luxury vehicles, and they are getting very expensive. And there is an audience for vehicles that expensive. So... But why wouldn't makers build them?
Are they being used for rolling offices? I mean, I don't see the practicality of a luxury pickup truck. I just don't. I don't get it. And I love pickup trucks, and I'd love a luxury pickup truck, but I don't know who these people are and what they're using it for.
I don't know exactly, but it's interesting. Well, we used to call the Chevy Silverado the Texas Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that, like, when Ram added the tungsten top trim level to its to its lineup this year, Ford has the Platinum, and GMC has the Denali, and now the Denali XL or Denali. I forgot. There's a high end version of the Denali, and those vehicles come to $90,000+ if you equip them appropriately.
Yikes.
And I assume that the demographic is business owner, people who sometimes have to go off road, but normally just work out of their truck. So I think it's a lot of contractors sometimes that they're prosperous, they're doing well, but they still need truck utility.
Do they get any kind of tax break if, I mean, I'm thinking if you're buying a $90,000 vehicle and it's your office, then that could conceivably benefit you.
Yeah, I used to be better on top of this, but there is a way to lease through your business that does offer you tax benefits. And I'd have to talk to an accountant to see how that works. But that's been the case for a very long time.
Hmm. Anything else you've driven lately?
What did I drive recently that I really liked? Did I talk about the new Nissan Kicks? Because that's a fantastic vehicle that you can still get for about $25,000. Oh. Really enjoyed driving that. Oh, I have one. I loved it. I just drove the Volvo V60 Polestar Engineered. This is a smallish, mid-size station wagon that is completely hot-rodded. And it's a plug-in hybrid, which seems incongruous with it being sporty, but what a fantastic old school sporty Volvo. I enjoyed that vehicle so much. I wish it wasn't 75 grand, but it's super cool. Oh,
wow.
In fact, that's one of the front page stories when people go to consumerguide.com.
Yeah.
And it's called the Polestar?
Yeah, Polestar is confusing because there's a company now called Polestar that is owned by the company that owns Volvo. And that is just performance and luxury EVs. But Polestar used to be a performance brand at Volvo, a little bit like AMG at Mercedes or M Performance at BMW. They don't use it much, and they haven't used it consistently enough, I think, for the public to know what it is. But yeah, it's basically a very sporty version of a standard vehicle.
I'm looking at some of the pictures on the Consumer Guide website, and it's an interesting-looking interior. That's a nice-looking vehicle.
It's a great picture you have on your page, the Consumer Guide page. It looks like it's like a lowrider. It looks like it's really low to the ground.
Yes, I did take that picture with the camera up a little bit over my head, but yes, it does look very low, and it is actually pretty low.
Hmm.
Very
it's beautiful.
Looking.
I love it. I've become obsessed with grills on vehicles because there's so many of them that are just ugly.
Yeah.
You know, they look like big teeth coming at you, or they just don't look friendly, or they look like they would be a pain to keep looking good. This one is nice. It's a very, very cool, very sporty looking.
Speaking of grills, I have a mission for you, Tom.
Oh.
Between now and the next time we talk, can you do a little bit of research into what is going on with the state of Illinois and front license plates?
Okay.
Because we heard, now this would have been about 2 years ago, we heard that there was something making its way through Springfield that was a bill that would say that, like many other states, Illinois drivers do not have to put their license plate on the front of the vehicle. And with a lot of the new grills that are, some of them are, as Johnny said, ugly, some of them are very attractive, but the license plate kind of take away from the design. And this bill apparently would say that, like many other states, that you'd only have to have rear license plates.
I remember taking delivery of my 1984 Pontiac Sunbird, which did not have a formation in the grill for a plate. And they mounted a terrible plastic plate holder in the grill with like these plastic rivets. And I'm like, oh, this is a new car.
Yeah.
It was off-center. It was awful. It was sad to see. Yes, front plates are a curse to designers.
So the question is, where is that in the state of Illinois now?
Because most states don't require the front plate, right?
Right. Michigan doesn't, for example.
And Florida doesn't.
I don't believe Indiana does.
I don't think so either, someone who lives in Indiana will correct us, since we've got 19 states listening tonight. They can all chime in on that. And the other business in the state of Illinois, we heard John Williams talking about this last week, was Alexi Janulius proposing the age being upped to 87 for requirement to renew your license.
Well, for requirement to, I believe...
the driving test.
The driving test every year, I think.
At
87.
Because the state of Illinois at the moment has the most restrictive driving driver's license regulations of any state in the country.
Yeah, my mom just renewed, and she's at the point where I believe she has to renew annually. She's 84, and apparently she passed with flying colors. Hi, Mom. But yeah, it's hassle to get there every year.
Well, Tom, my dad actually changed his residency to Florida because he was so stressed out about taking the test. Now, here's what happened to him. God bless him. He said to us, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm just too stressed. I can't do it. And he lived in Florida 7-8 months out of the year. He says, I'm just going to change my residency to Florida. And it cost a couple hundred dollars to do that. And I take him into the driver's license bureau. And they do a little tip typing. And they handed him his driver's license. Oh, they took his picture. Then they handed him his license. And they said, we'll see you when you're 92. And I went, what? What?
Yep.
He danced out of that place.
He was a happy camper.
He was kicking his heels up. He was like an 18-year-old going to the car. It was new life for my dad. And wow. I said, well, you know, now you have to vote in Florida. Oh, hell, I don't care. I don't have to take the test anymore. Oh, my gosh. But all it right. is very stressful.
That's crazy.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back talking cars a bit more with Tom Appel here on WGN.
Kang and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
Is that a kazoo?
It almost sounds like something we should use for one of our computer segments. That is one of Tom Appel's cartoons. Tom, who is that and what is that?
This is a super interesting story. That's a guy named William Onubar, and he was a pioneer in synthesizer music working in the early 70s. That song is called Fantastic Man, and he fell into obscurity until David Byrne of the Talking Heads heard his music, and David Byrne spent 5 years trying to get this guy to sign a contract so that David Byrne could release that album in the U.S. So, yeah, 5 years, the guy didn't trust David Byrne. He didn't really care about this, didn't need the money or didn't want the money. But finally, David Byrne did get a contract. And David Byrne toured on this album. The album is called Who is William Onubar?
Okay.
William Onubar. Yeah. Is he playing a kazoo?
I don't think so. I think it's all synthesizer music and probably really old synthesizer stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fun little toe-tapping tune.
Yeah. We may use that.
All his songs are really long. They're kind of epically long.
Okay.
We may use that as one of our computer bumps.
And that was off the album. That's called Fantastic Man, that particular cut that we played.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I want to jump to one of our texts coming in at 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, we have cars that can park themselves, self-driving, but can we build a car that turns the light on when it's dark? And yes, we can, and we have. And the problem is that too many people don't read their manuals to find out how to put the lights on automatic. I can't count the number of times we'll be driving in on a Saturday night and people are driving along with just their courtesy lights on or no lights on.
Well, gee, I'm confused. Don't daytime running lights automatically come on? Or
daytime auto lights are always on, and they're nearly as bright as regular headlights in most cases, but they don't include the taillights. Yeah, so that's an issue. And then automatic headlights are standard on most vehicles now. You just have to find the auto on the light stock there and put it in there and leave it there forever.
and I know this may be a bit of an imposition. Read the damn manual.
Or call Steve. He'll read it because it's his idea of a good time. You get a good manual and a glass of milk and a box of crackers.
Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its, yes. A couple questions from listeners, Tom, and we're 312-981-7200. This listener is looking for a manual vehicle for his 16-year-old boy. Wants a manual. And he says, what do you think about the 09 Volvo C30 six-speed manual?
Oh, it's one of the coolest cars ever built. And they're pretty rare, unfortunately. People know what those are. For people who don't know, it's a compact car, really closer to a subcompact car. It's actually a two-door. It's a little wagon, and it's a joy to drive. It's powered by a 2.5-liter turbocharged engine. Was available with a manual. And for some strange reason, there was never a sport version of this car, but there's plenty of things you can do to it, including putting better tires on it. That car's a delight if you can find one. I think they're artificially expensive because just a lot of people want them.
A manual. Wow. Uh-huh. I'm also intrigued by the fact that a 16-year-old wants a manual. It's like, okay.
Makes me happy.
Can I go back to the subject of headlights for a second? Because Tom and I were exchanging messages about an interesting article I came across that was comparing different types of headlights. And Tom, you did a little more research, and what did you find?
Man, I found the weirdest story ever, and I think I need to write about this because I haven't seen a single story that kind of ties this all together. So in 2022, a federal law called FMVSS 108, that's Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard 108, was amended to allow the installation of adaptive driver beam headlights. This would be LED headlights that light up individually in different directions in different places. So it's like cornering lights, something like that, combined with high beams that adapt down. There's a lot of cool stuff here that should have been great technology, but it turns out that there are a bunch of contradictions in the law, so manufacturers aren't applying it yet. So it says specifically that the use of LEDs, the law has not been implemented because of contradictions in the rule. That's what I was looking for. So as now we're jump ahead to 2024, manufacturers want to use LEDs, and there are laws about how bright headlights can be and about blinding people. But because the law isn't being applied and they're not building this new system yet, the ABD adaptive system, we just have LEDs on the front of cars. And a lot of Hyundais have them, for example, in popularly priced vehicles. The problem is they're shining right in people's eyes.
Yep.
And they're not supposed to do that. And if they were adaptive, they wouldn't. And what someone has determined is that manufacturers are creating little dim spots that artificially make the lights look less bright when they're being tested.
What?
Yeah. So potential scandal here, probably not on the epic scale of the Volkswagen diesel thing, but it does look like cars are being manipulated to pass this test until the law makes more sense.
But what would adaptive lights do? Would it allow the lights to, as you're driving along and you see a vehicle and you see where the windshield is in that vehicle, would it make the lights aim a little farther down so you're not hitting that vehicle in the windshield, or what?
Exactly. Adaptive driver beam headlights are like a miracle thing. They're supposed to move the headlights around, the beam of the headlight, the angle of the headlight, to avoid blinding drivers. Just the same way that, like, right now we have adaptive bright lights that will dim when they detect a car coming at you, except this would be far more effective and far more specific in application, but those don't exist yet.
Wait, there are adaptive lights now?
High beams, yeah, automatic high beams. So if you have your automatic high beams on and you're driving, they will dim when a car comes into range so as not to blind the oncoming traffic.
Of course, that doesn't stop the person that's driving on your trunk that you can't get away from because it's in your rearview mirror and you're like holding your hand up going, ah!
But doesn't that technology go back? I recall I had a 75 Imperial that had this widget where you could program it, and if a car is coming in the distance, the high beams will go down to low beams.
50 years ago.
I want to say yes. And wasn't there something on the front fender, on one of the front fenders, that was actually the sensor?
Yes.
I vaguely remember this, yeah.
Yeah. So that was 1975.
Took us a while.
Isn't it startling that 75 was 50 years ago?
Yes.
And in 1975, now think of this, in 1975, 50 years before, was, whoa, that was another time, another place.
Yeah.
1975 was my life. That was now. That was okay. Tom, we are up against the clock. Can we keep you for one quick segment to answer a couple more listener calls on the other side?
Oh, sure.
All right, great. Thank you.
And you should check out consumerguide.com. You should also go to Blue Sky and follow Car Guy Tom. Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's not one of Tom's cartoons. That's one of Julian's Dealer's Choice selections. Who is that and what is that?
Technically, we're not far off from his tunes. Tom, you want to take this one?
Yeah, that is, I believe, Good Name by William Onyebar off the same album.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm going to look this guy up because I'm intrigued by the sounds that I'm hearing. Again, all synthesizer, but different sounds.
Yeah, Julian, keep that one for a computer bump. I'm liking that. Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom, blatant plug time. People should go to consumerguide.com. And what else should they know and do?
Yeah, consumerguide.com. That's where all my new car reviews live. Plus, there's fun stuff at the blog. The blog's right up at the top. It's on the navigation bar. You can find it there. And the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast, which comes out very, very early every Tuesday morning. People should subscribe to that and leave us a review. But you can listen to it anywhere, and you can listen to it and stream it on our homepage.
And people can follow you where?
Mostly on Blue Sky these days. I'm Car Guy Tom.
Okay.
Couple quick questions from our audience. An 847 area code said, could you please ask Tom, how can you find out the car dealer's invoice price on a new vehicle?
You know, interestingly, invoice prices are a little bit less valuable than they used to be. And what a lot of these sites do, including TrueCar and Edmunds and Kelly, is that they tell you the average transaction price in your area, and you can compare your vehicle to that price, which gives you a better idea of what you should pay. But that said, I believe that Kelly and Edmunds still offer invoice prices. TrueCar used to, but I couldn't find them during the commercial break, so I'm not sure that's a source anymore.
Do you know if banks still use the Kelly Blue Book when you're going in for a loan or something?
Because I know they still do. Yeah. And there was something called the Black Book, too, that was also used to determine loan values.
Huh. And who was Kelly? If we now know who the Monroney is,
yeah.
Who was Mr. Kelly?
Oh, I don't know.
He had a nice bar downtown, didn't he?
I don't know who that guy was, but he was good with a calculator.
A listener asks, Tom, do you have any news on the Tahoe?
The Chevrolet Tahoe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's in the process of being redesigned. The redesigned ones are out now. It's not significantly different. We do know there's a big recall out there right now if you get the big engine. But what a great car. Super refined, great for virtually anything. And I love the base engine. It's a 5.3-liter V8. It's quick. It's relatively frugal for such a big vehicle. Really a nice vehicle.
70,000 plus?
I think you could probably put one together just over 60, but you'd have a hard time getting a dealer to get you that vehicle because they're typically much more expensive, closer to 70.
A listener said, you mentioned a vehicle under 30,000 tonight. Could you mention at least one more that's under 30,000?
What's out there? The popular compact cars still start under 30. So the Corolla, the Civic, the Nissan, the Versa and Sentra, but they quickly get more expensive as you climb the trim level tree. But I was talking about the Nissan Kicks.
Mm-hmm.
which still starts under 30, and that's a small crossover that is now available with all-wheel drive for 2025.
Mm. And you like the Kicks, right?
I love the Kicks, yeah. It's a really great value. It's roomy. It's fun to drive. It's not especially quick, and it can be a little bit loud on the highway, but there's a lot there for the money.
Hmm.
Speaking of pricing, what are you hearing from automotive manufacturers as the subject of tariffs becomes more and more a part of our conversation?
I think every automotive executive right now is on the verge of suicide, and they're all just hoping that this is a bluff and this isn't going to happen. Because if, in fact, tariffs are applied to vehicles that come in out of Canada or Mexico and or Mexico, the disruption will be massive. And there will be a period of many months until cars are again available at any sort of reasonable price. It would be a disaster if they're actually applied.
And this is not just foreign brands. This is many United States brands too, right?
Yeah, and that's the problem. All of the Detroit 3 makers, Stellantis and General Motors and Ford, assemble vehicles in Mexico. And they tend to be the more affordable vehicles, and sometimes the more high-volume vehicles, maybe not. I shouldn't say that, but relatively high-volume vehicles, if we just suddenly cut those off because no one is going to pay another $5,000 or $10,000 for these vehicles, then there's going to be a shortage of the vehicles that they can't afford, and they're not going to remain affordable because that's just the nature of supply and demand. It could be awful. And one of the interesting things that someone pointed out to me is that tariffs are really hard to apply to vehicles built in the U.S. and Canada and Mexico, because sometimes a component assembled in the U.S. uses mm-hmm. Mexican parts. So those parts have crossed the border once and then are shipped back to Mexico for installation in a vehicle down there. So the impact on this is very difficult to calculate, but it'll be super disruptive.
Interesting that you use that as an example, because 2 weeks ago when you were on, we heard from a listener who works third shift. He didn't tell me where he works, but he was listening to our show, and his company makes seats for cars.
Okay.
And he says, we make them here in the United States, but we send them to Mexico to be put in cars. And he said, we're going to lose our third shift. It's just that simple. He said, I'm going to be without a job. That's what's going to happen. And I thought, whoa, I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, it's really complicated when you go further down the supply chain, because things cross the border sometimes more than twice.
Hmm.
And so I don't even know how you apply a tariff in those cases.
Well, the listener also asked, is there any talk of Lincoln coming out of China? So they must be talking about the big ones.
Right now, what's coming out of China is the Lincoln
the Nautilus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very nice vehicle. Got a little bit more expensive when they brought it in from China. And Ford is eating part of that tariff right now. And Volvo brings in cars from China, and Buick brings in one vehicle. That's the Envision. Not a lot of stuff coming in from China. But those vehicles probably will stop coming in if that tariff goes up at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of margin there. Interestingly, too, Volvo is currently bringing in an electric car, the XC30. It's called the EX30, forgive me. Very affordable electric car that they're building in China. And they just announced a price, and that's $35,000. Super affordable. But if anything happens, they'll probably have to stop importing that.
Mm-hmm. Finally, an 847 area code said, just to clarify, the blue book was retail prices of used cars. The black book was the wholesale price of cars. I did not know that.
I don't know if I knew that. That sounds correct, I guess. Mm-hmm.
2 weeks from tonight, the Chicago Auto Show starts. 2 weeks from tonight, yeah. February 8th.
And you may or may not be going to the auto show.
Yeah, it's a mobility issue for me. I'm still waiting to have knee surgery, so I really can't make my way around there. But I will be there in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we should think about corralling your cohort, Jill, and having her join us that night.
That sounds good.
She'll do all the walking for all three of us. How's that?
She's spry.
She is. She's energetic. We'll let her be our surrogate walker. And I know you had someone on from the auto show on your show, right?
Jennifer Moran, who's the new president of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association, just joined us. So if people want to hear about that, that's coming up. But the Chicago Auto Show sounds pretty vibrant this year. They've got a bunch of test tracks, a bunch of EV tracks. You can drive some of this stuff. There's a lot going on. And it's a full-pack show, about 1,000 cars.
It's the biggest one. It's still the biggest in the country, right?
It is the biggest in terms of square footage, and it used to be understood to be the largest in terms of attendance. But Dave Sloan, the previous president of the CATA, once said, if you want the truth, never ask an auto show producer about their attendance.
That's right. And that's going to be 2 weeks from tonight, February 8th, and it runs through Monday, February 17th. And it's going to be
that's President's Day.
President's Day. It always is. And then the kids get in cheaper, and then there's a massive snowstorm.
Yes, buckle up, because anytime the auto show is on, there will be a hellacious snowstorm.
Yes, yes.
It's a rule.
Our producer, Julian, has his credentials. You're going to go, right, Julian?
I'll be there.
And he's going to take some pictures for us, and you're going to be walking around earlier before it opens up for the public, right?
Yeah, I'll probably get there around 8 or 9, something like that.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, Tom, thank you. People can follow you, and you will join us in a couple of weeks. And
they can follow you at consumerguide.com or CarGuideTom on Blue Sky.
And read Tom's post about the Cybertruck. It's excellent.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Thanks a bunch, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Good night.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. It's the final countdown to Sports Between the Sheets. And Gabe, I want to start for a second before we get to Bears and all kinds of things. Mark Burley's statue was announced at Sox Fest. I think this is so cool. Did you hear about that?
I did, and I actually talked about that in my newscast Friday night and Saturday morning. But before I get to that, let me just say that song. Mm-hmm. When I played football, we used to play that right before kickoff.
Did you really?
So cool. So, like, I wish I had my shoulder pads on. I got them stashed away somewhere. Don't tell my wife. But, you know, the Mark Burley thing, you know, I know that there's been a push for him to get in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, he has good numbers, but not necessarily great numbers. But, again, that's, you know, for the voters to decide that, you know, obviously the fans, I can understand why the fans want him in there. And I know he had definitely had a great career on the South Side, no question about it.
And he was a fan favorite.
Oh, definitely. And then, you know, they retired his number and, you know, the statue. I'm curious to see where they're going to end up putting it, but, you know, definitely deserved. And then, like I said, his number's already among the other White Sox legends. So definitely deserved on his part. And, you know, I mean, there's probably a few other numbers that could be up there, too. But, you know, again, that's another conversation. But it's good to see, you know, Mark Burley continuing to be recognized for what he accomplished on the South Side.
And Johnny and I were talking earlier today. It was really cool, the more we thought about it, to have Sox Fest at the location they had it at
the Romova, South Side. Yeah, the Romova Theater.
I thought it was an interesting idea. I know a lot of fans were disappointed that it wasn't the big convention that they ran out the hotel ballroom for and everything else. But, you know, I understand their approach this time. You know, not only do they want to do something different, because again, this is the first Sox Fest that's happened since the pandemic, but also, you know, when you think about it, you know, with the uncertainty surrounding the team this year, and you take a look at how bad ticket sales have been,
exactly,
you know, these last few seasons, you know, you don't want to risk having such a big event and only so few people showing up.
Yes.
So I think that's what gets lost within the fan base, is that, you know, they're trying to, you know, they want to maximize attendance without exposing that, hey, you know, we're still trying to fix this thing
here.
Yes, so.
Yes. And it looked good in the Romova Theater, and it was great to support the neighborhood theater, too. It's a beautiful theater. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Now, if I remember correctly, didn't they just remodel that a few years ago?
They just remodeled it, and Chance the Rapper and Quincy Jones and Jennifer Hudson were the money people behind the renovation and the reopening of the Romova Theater.
Yeah, Jennifer Hudson grew up not too far from Rainfield, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And I remember when I covered the White Sox for the few years that I did, I would drive past that theater and I would see, you know, the windows and doors were shuttered and the sign was just, you know, decaying. And there's a few theaters like that in Chicago, the Uptown Theater among them. There's another theater.
There's the Riviera. Yeah.
Right. I thought that was still open.
It is occasionally open. It's not. It just needs to be redone.
Gotcha.
So does the Aragon.
And then I don't remember the name of it, but it's at 59th and Kedzie. That theater has been closed down for a while, too.
Mm.
And also, what used to be my favorite theater used to be the Avalon Theater on 79th Street. Now it's the new Regal Theater. And that has been, for years, it's kind of gone back and forth about being rehabbed. And I hope they do. It's a wonderful location.
Well, before we run out of time, though, you've been nice enough to share Bears news with us every week during the season. How about let's spend a few minutes and talk about the 19th Chicago Bears head coach, Mr. Johnson, who it freaks me out when I hear that he was born in 1986. I'm like, that's just wrong.
Well, you know, that's the trend these days with coaches. They're getting younger. If you recall, when John Gruden was first hired by the Raiders in the 90s, he was only 30-something. You know, and it kind of started with him, and then now it's continued on. You know, Sean McVay was in his 30s when the Rams hired him. Cliff Kingsbury about the same age when he was head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So that's kind of the trend now. And, you know, I think it's more about, not necessarily about experience when it comes to head coaches, but I think it's more about philosophy and game planning, I think, is what the name of the game is now. And, of course, you know, a lot of analytics goes into that now, as it does with many sports.
Well, what was your take on Johnson being named?
Obviously, that is the man that the fans wanted, for sure.
Yep.
And I definitely thought that, you know, all things considered, he probably would be the best hire. Now, he just has to go out there and prove it. He has to go out there and put a team together, put a game plan together, and, you know, show that he can steer Caleb Williams in the right direction. I do like a couple of his assistant coach hires already. Antoine Randall-El, who grew up here in the Chicago area, Thornton High School, ended up playing college football in Indiana, played 9 seasons in the NFL. He's going to be not only the Bears wide receiver coach, but he's also going to be Johnson's assistant head coach. And he actually has experience playing a little bit of quarterback. So not only is he going to work with, you know, Roma Dunze, but now as assistant head coach, he's going to spend probably a lot of time with Caleb and offer his expertise, because he's played some quarterback in his day as well.
Oh, that's good.
And JT Barrett is going to be the quarterback's coach, according to the Sun-Times. And he played quarterback in college. He was actually, before Ohio State beat Notre Dame this past week, their last championship was in 2014, and JT Barrett was a part of that team. And, you know, he kind of didn't get his, you know, really did get a shot in the NFL. He bounced around a few practice squads. He actually retired after getting injured in the Canadian Football League and just went right into coaching. But, you know, he definitely has some expertise that he can offer, too. And so Johnson bringing a couple of guys from Detroit with him, so that's good in that regard. But again, it's going to be a matter of bringing it all together and presenting a game plan and a philosophy that's going to get this team back on track. They still haven't hired an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. That's going to be, I'm surprised those weren't the first hires. But again, you're looking for guys that are going to actually draw up your playbooks every week. So that's, you know, that's going to take a little more due diligence, just as the Bears went through almost 20 candidates before deciding on a head coaching hire.
I from what I saw on the news this past week, he just seems like a delightful man.
He really does. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised that the Bears made that choice. Now, I just hope that they get out of his way.
Yes, yes.
And that's going to be another thing, too. And remember, there was a point where it looked like they were leaning towards Mike McCarthy, and Bears fans did not want that. And while, you know, Mike McCarthy's a proven coach, at the same time, you know, I don't think he was a fit for what the Bears need.
Nope.
And, you know, like I said, you know, that's at one point, that's what it looked like where the Bears were leaning. So that didn't happen. And, yeah, like I said, hopefully, you know, they stay out of his way and they let him do what he needs to do to get this team back on track.
Well, it gave kind of new life to the fans. They're like, oh, okay, maybe there's a reason to wear my blue and orange again. Well, Gabe, put on your news hat. We will take a break, and we'll be in the final stretch of the show tonight here on WGN.
Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. I'm hot for you, baby. That's Tina Turner. That is a new, previously unreleased Tina Turner. That apparently that track had just kind of disappeared and has recently surfaced and will be a part of, I believe, a 40th anniversary album for Private Dancer.
Can you believe 40 years ago that came out?
No, that's just wrong.
Yeah, to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Private Dancer, a new special edition 5-CD Blu-ray featuring unreleased tracks like I'm Hot For You, Baby, something I hear all the time around the house, B-sides, B-sides and rarities, plus the upgraded live from the NEC show. And you can even pre-order it now. I mean, 5 CDs, Blu-ray. I'm not crazy about that song. It sounded like her voice was, like, I understand why they didn't release it originally, because she seemed like she had already been singing for a couple of hours, and now she was really pushing it. And, well,
but it's nice to hear
new stuff,
some new Tina.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
we wanted to talk for a second. In fact, we may start doing a new segment on the show,
right?
And this goes back to it. It used to be, those of you who are newspaper aficionados, remember in the Sun-Times, Sidney J. Harris
had a wonderful column,
and it was things I learned on the way to
looking up other things. Yes, and I love that, because how often does that happen? And that was before the internet. Because now, you know, you fall down the rabbit hole, and you're like, whoa, and you start webbing, meaning one thing leads to another to another, and you're wow. So we thought we would bring back things I learned en route to looking up other things.
And I love that this is something that Johnny told me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard this, and I love it.
Well, I had heard in recent years that there had been some study about reading and how important it is to read as you age, because reading actually helps your brain. But now we're told specifically you need to be reading fiction, not nonfiction. Of course, read your nonfiction, but the way your brain reacts to fiction is different than nonfiction. Apparently, scientists say when you're reading nonfiction, you can skip, you can skim, you can just look for facts, you can put it down.
If you're doom scrolling, whatever you're doing, you kind of know what's going on. So
and you just
kind of
keep moving on. And okay, so it doesn't really take you any place like when you're reading fiction, where there apparently are multiple parts of your brain that are activated that aren't activated when you're reading nonfiction.
I think because you have to stay in that moment.
And it requires you to use your imagination and your picturing things, and now
and you have to remember that character did what to
exactly. So now you're trying to tie everything together in your mind while you're enjoying what you're reading. You got to include that too. That if you're reading something that you're enjoying, that has an overall effect on your body, not just on your brain, but it's like sitting down and talking with a friend and having a cup of tea. I mean, it can be just really wonderful for you. So I was just finishing a book up today, and I said, I got to get me a new book, because now they're saying that you actually can help stave off dementia if you read fiction. And they have proven that elderly people who still read are less likely to develop signs of dementia. They said, go into a nursing home. How often will you hear people say, yeah, I used to read a lot. I used to read a lot. They don't do it anymore. And you should really try to impress upon them that if this is something you enjoyed before, let's make it so that you can comfortably do this now, because it's actually good for you. It's like taking a good pill to make you feel better. It's going to work on so many levels. And I thought, wow, that's just so easy to grasp and to do. And I had just finished a book, as I say, I picked up Graham Norton. We mentioned him earlier because he's a talk show host out of Great Britain.
BBC America. And his shows are on Friday night. If you've never seen him, watch it. It's really, really well done talk show.
And he brings out the A-list celebrities, not only in Britain, but from the U.S. I mean, everybody wants to be on his show, and he's just delightful. And I had read his biography and did not know that he was such a good writer. And this is his latest novel called Frankie, and I just ate it up. It was just delightful. And as I'm reading it, I put the book down, and I'm thinking, that's Graham Norton? That's just so wonderful that this is so opposite of the man that you see on television.
And we saw an interview with him with Seth Meyers.
Yes.
In fact, he said one of the reasons he was on with Seth Meyers is that British Broadcasting won't allow you to promote something that you've done, like writing a book. So he comes over to the United States to appear on American television to promote his book. And he was also saying that there is such a difference in his personality and what he does on his show and what he puts in the book. He said it's almost like his mind goes to a different place.
Yeah. For anyone who is familiar with the Irish author Maeve Binchy, I felt like, and I ate up everything that she wrote, and I missed her because I haven't read anything in a long time, and I felt like that was a lot of what I was getting from this new novel by Graham Norton. It was just such a nice surprise. So as I put down the book when I finished it, and I was looking up something else, and I came across that little factoid about, do yourself a favor and read more fiction. It's better for your brain, and it may even help stave off dementia. If you love nonfiction, fine, but make time for some good old fiction just to get lost in it. So that's an excuse to buy a new book for the next week.
And I want to read that.
And you who blows me away is Sarah Thiemann here at the radio station.
Oh, sure.
She reads hundreds of books. Hundreds. And if you've not heard her on with John, I mean, it's just, it's amazing the array of book types that she reads. I mean, she's all over the map. Fascinating.
So, since we're raving about books, I'm going to do a blatant plug.
Okay.
If you haven't read it, my brother Lee's book, Safe Inside, not just because he's my brother, it's a wonderful book. It's published by Eckhart's Press. So just go to Eckhart's Press, do a search for Safe Inside, and the book will come up. And
E-C-K-A-R-T-Z, yeah. Eckhart's, yes.
And it's a really wonderful book.
It is. And just recently celebrated an anniversary of when it was released, which tonight I'm really hung up on you know, what? That was 25 years ago? How can that be? Even though this feels like it's the 50th of January.
Well, it's because we're trying to escape 2025.
Yes.
As quickly as possible.
But look, there's only 54 days left until springtime.
Okay. Oops, the blue light is flashing.
Yes, already.
I hear the Zamboni.
Is he getting closer?
Yep.
He's getting closer. Yep.
And there's Big Plug Bob riding the Zamboni, and that means it is time for our last call. So if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And if you have not won anything from this radio place in the last 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first, you could win some goodies from this here radio place at 312-981-7200. You don't need to be pithy.
Yeah, you might have something to say about something that we've touched on tonight, because we've been all over the map talking television and movies and cars and Facebook and nonsense. And, or maybe you just want to say, hi, and here's what my life is like, and here's what my Sunday's going to be like. And
you can do any and all of that.
Any of that, sure. You can just have the honor of being the cherry on top of tonight's show. You can be
setting us off into the night.
That's right. You can set the stage for whatever it is we're going to have. What are we having for supper when we get home? We're having a hamburger, or
I think burgers was a possibility.
Or ham. We got ham too. I've got ham on the brain since I did the Sea Crane commercial with a ham radio band. I'm like, wow, I got to get that out of my head. And then there was also Chinese food, but I don't see me going home and making Chinese food at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Not tonight.
No. No, that might be breakfast.
312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
By the way, it's still not too late to call.
Yep.
Julian is still going through the calls.
Head on out.
312-981-7200.
You don't have to go home.
312-981-7200.
But you can't stay here.
No, you can't stay here.
No, you can't.
You cannot stay here.
No.
We got just a couple pieces of unfinished business I want to get to before. And again, you're welcome to be our last caller. As I say, the cherry on top of tonight's show. Listener said, you mentioned this concert that's coming up on Thursday night.
Yes.
And apparently he came in on the tail end of it. You can Google Fire Aid, F-I-R-E-A-I-D. That's the big concert Thursday night. It's going to be aired at 7:30 Pacific time.
So that would be
9:30
our time.
Right. Two locations in L.A., 28 performers, everyone from Billie Eilish to Jelly Roll to Katy Perry to Lady Gaga, Olivia Rodrigo, Rod Stewart, Stevie Wonder, Sting. Oh, Sting. Interesting.
Well, yeah.
Because he'd canceled a few of his shows because of a throat infection. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, there's just a list. John Fogerty, Alanis Morissette, Anderson .Paak, Graham Nash, Joni Mitchell, No Doubt, Pink, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Stephen Stills, Stevie Nicks. This list is going to grow. And again, it starts at 9:30 at night, our time. And the listener said, where can we get more information? So Google Fire Aid, and you will find that it is going to be streamed all over the place, including on Apple TV and Max and iHeartRadio and KTLA and Netflix and the Amazon.
And KTLA is a local Los Angeles station.
Yeah.
You can see them on Roku. We've been watching them a lot on Roku. And,
right.
They've done excellent coverage of the California wildfires.
Amazon Music Channel on Twitch and SiriusXM. So it's going to be available if you happen to be out there and you want to pick up tickets on Wednesday. They're going to be $99 a ticket, which seems like a steal considering what you're getting. And Ticketmaster is, in fact, waiving their fees for the event to ensure that all the sales will benefit the fire aid relief efforts. So that's very cool. So I wanted to get to that because a couple of people said they'd come in on that at the last minute.
By the way, I did want to mention that next week, We have a full show.
We do have a full show.
We have to be here at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
For a full show.
I got to go home and rest.
And Patrick Crispin will be joining us next weekend. So much tech stuff to get to. Yes,
oh,
we will have an update on the latest, sadly, the latest hacking stuff. And
Oh, by the way, a couple of people did ask how the Crispins are doing, and they're doing great.
Yeah.
School is still not in session for 8-year-old Joseph. That's not going to happen until the 1st of February. And he had a little bit of cabin fever last week.
Sure.
And was just like, why is this happening to me?
And as we mentioned, his best friend
lost
his house.
Yeah, and that was pretty tough for them to explain. And it, I mean, as Patrick has mentioned before, these kids live through a pandemic, and now they're living through this, and it's like, wow, everything's kind of heaping up on them. So before we run out of time, let's sneak in our last caller for tonight at 312-981-7200, and we're going to go to Jimmy. Jimmy, you are the lucky last caller tonight. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
Good.
Where are you calling from, Jimmy?
Chicago, South Side.
Yay! Oh, Chicago, well, check
okay.
it in.
Okay, whereabouts on the South Side? I grew up at 80th and Manistee.
I'm the South Shore.
Oh.
Okay, well, whereabouts in South Shore?
I'm on Kingston Avenue.
I know it well.
Yes, 77.
Oh, sure. I know it very well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why are you up at this hour of the morning?
Well, I'm suffering with a bad headache, and I had to get up to go to the washroom.
Oh, okay.
That's how we get most of our listeners.
That's right. They're on their way to the bathroom, or or they work us into a dream. That's the fun thing when they say, did you say this? Because I thought I either heard you say it or I was dreaming it. Did you take something for your headache?
Yes, I just did. I just took another ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm. Well, be careful. Because I just talked to a friend the other day. She said, well, you know, if two helps, I always take three. And I go, no, don't do that. You can do some bad things to your body, like your liver, right? You know that.
That's
though.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because these only take one every 12 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, yes. So what's on the agenda for Sunday? You got football on your schedule to watch, or?
Football and dinner.
Sunday
okay.
dinner?
And what are you looking for dinner?
I'm doing tacos tomorrow for the game.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay.
Are you a Chiefs fan?
Yes, ma'am.
I am too, and partly, forgive me, but partly because of Taylor. I don't have any problem with them showing her up in the stands, enjoying herself, and wearing cute outfits and all. And I think she's been a good luck charm for the team. What do you think?
So do I, for sure, because, I mean, so far so good, so no complaints.
Didn't she miss one game, and they did not win that game?
I think so, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I remember that, yeah.
So I would say keep bringing this girl to the game. Come on.
Exactly. Don't change a thing.
Exactly.
So yes. So when you don't have a headache and you're not watching football, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, I'm a car guy myself also.
Are you?
Yes, I like to restore cars and everything myself. That was a hobby of mine.
Really? Okay. What's your favorite car that you've restored?
A 77 Grand Prix Pontiac.
Oh, you're talking to Pontiac people here. You know, we have a 30-year-old Pontiac Bonneville that we only recently parted with. And it was hard. When you keep a car for 30 years and you baby it, and it only had 66,000 miles on it, but we just didn't have any room for it, so we had to let her go.
And
I wish I would have known. I would have been interested in it.
Well,
one of my all-time favorite cars was a 66 Bonneville convertible.
Oh, those were sharp.
And my favorite car was my 77 Grand Prix SJ. That was also a sharp car.
Yeah, it's the same one I restored, same year model.
Is that right?
What color?
It was two-tone, brown and beige.
Oh, my gosh.
With the bucket seats.
Yes. Did it have like
was it that kind of a gold brownish color?
Like a bronzy color?
It was more like a dark brown with the beige inserts, like the beige hood and the beige
front lid. Because mine was kind of like a copper color brown, that metallic brown with a beautiful camel color interior. It was a very cool car. I actually sold it for $1,000 more than I paid for it. Because by the time we got into the 80s, the cars were so small. I sold it to a guy that was 6'8", and he said, I have to have a car that's big enough for me. And then I came along, and he was willing to pay the price. So it was great.
I loved it. That car ran so good.
Yeah.
I never had a problem with the motor or the transmission or anything.
Yep.
We never did either.
Great
Absolutely.
Cars.
Yeah. Well, I'm tickled.
They don't make them like that anymore.
I'm sorry that you've got a headache, but I'm tickled you stopped by tonight, and we're going to send you out your very own official WGN logo T-shirt. And I want you to wear it in good health, and I hope.
In fact, send us a picture of you wearing it.
Yeah, I hope you'll stop by again on a Saturday night, Jimmy. It's nice to meet you. Thank you.
Hold on for a second, and Julian will get some information from you off the air. How cool. Restoring cars.
You know what? I said tonight we had almost 20 states tuned in, and we had 3 states that we'd not ever had check in on a Saturday night. By the way, Steve is not sick. It's just a crazy
bleeping tickle, dry cough thing that has been bothering me for actually it bothers me annually.
Yes.
I think it's a dry air. It's
Happy New Year. Thing. Now you're going to cough for about 6 weeks and there's nothing you can do about it because it's going to happen. And the bad thing is you can cough so hard, especially when you're on the radio and you want to get it over with, that you end up going, ow, I think I just hurt myself. I think I just threw my back out coughing. So don't do that.
Well, didn't I? I kind of
cracked a rib
1 year.
Yes, and it was with the very same condition. And we were frightened because we were on the air when you cracked the rib. And Max Armstrong was waiting in the wings. So we said, can you come in here and do the show so we can go over to Northwestern and find out what's going on? And I'll never forget, they walked in and said, you just coughed too hard.
Yeah.
You have just coughed too hard.
But I'll never forget that was a learning experience because it was a Monday morning that happened.
It was.
And we were talking to some of the nurses, and they were telling us about some of the things they'd seen over the weekend. And
do you remember it had been a full moon weekend?
And there was one guy that he had overdosed.
No, he had he had injected drugs into his leg.
Yes.
Into an open wound.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, the nurse said, and that's the kind of stuff we have to put up with. And she was like, oh, sorry. I know you're not feeling well, sir. Forgive me.
Well, on that happy note.
Yes. We'll be here full show next Saturday night. We hope that you will be here, too.
And next week, Patrick Crispin joins us and some other surprises.
Yeah.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah. Thanks to Bob, our keeper of the big plug, and Gabe and Ron in the newsroom. And, of course, on the other side of the glass, Julian.
Stay safe. And
join us on Blue Sky.
Yeah, join us on Blue Sky and check out our blog.